Blog Talk Radio.
We just give a little capsule on each player. I mean, that's what I kind of need for a little graphic.
Today's, right?
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can't think back to yesterday.
No, I'd really like to talk more about that.
Start with Ethan Werrick.
Well, Christian Thomas, you know, is Steve Thomas' son.
Right.
And we had a pretty good, as far as character and everything, he was on Adam Graves' team. We've known about him for 2 years. We knew that he was coming there, and Adam sort of gave an idea of what we were going to be looking at. And when you first look, obviously, with the size, you know, people will probably get a little concerned. But once you watch him play, you don't even think about it anymore. He was able to score, you know, 41 goals on a very weak junior team that's going to be just getting stronger and stronger now since they've been building it up. And he's a sniper. He's got above average speed, so he's got the speed and he's got the scoring ability that a player that size needs. And he's got the drive.
Beyond the fact that he's also the son of, like Ryan Bourque, the son of the.
Yeah. Yep.
Is there a comparison in their games? The size is similar, right?
Yep. Yep. He's not. The comparison is really in the hands. You know,
okay.
the speed in the hands to take it and go to the net. And he's got the ability to score from the outside. You know, he can really rip it for a smaller guy.
That was yours truly and Steve Zippe from Newsday yucking it up a little bit with Gordy Clark, and then his comments on Rangers' second round pick, Christian Thomas. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Blue Shirt Banner Radio. It is 111 degrees where I am sitting. If you don't believe me, go to weatherchannel.com. And before we go any further, let me bring in my co-host, the Hall to my Oats, the Shields to my Yarnell, the Captain to my Tennille, and if he could get his hand that far up my dress, he would be the Waylon Flowers to my Madam. Eddie, good evening. How are you, buddy? How badly did I just take off with that intro?
Wow. Shields and Yarnell, they were a bunch of mimes. Well, what network executive decided to put a bunch of mimes on TV? That's some rocket science. So, yeah. I'm telling you, let's get it on. I am psyched. I love all the moves, and we got plenty of quotes from the draft, and you hobnobbing with my favorite, Steve Zippe. I love it. Canoodling? Do they catch you canoodling, you two guys? So,
Oh, we're good friends. We go way back.
Oh, boy. We try to come off like a
professional radio show doing like a little interview intro instead of music or something different. And City Hockey Fever, Paul, he's like, oh, I'm confused by the intro.
I got to tell you, never try to get too fancy with these folks. They like their meat and potatoes straight ahead broadcast. And I'm telling you, they say I'm pumped. I'm absolutely in a fever pitch with all these waivers and all these qualifying offers not given, refused, the Mark Stahl controversy that's starting, plus all these clips. I mean, who else has got this stuff? Who else has got Gordy Clark talking about every prospect? Who else has got Glenn Sather, who came down from the mountain like Moses and said, came down to talk to the little people? And we have it on. And I don't
let
know.
My
he came down.
Go, he says.
Let us go, for God's sake, retire. But in Sather's defense, and I just want to say this all, we said this on the show live Saturday. Guys, if you don't like the draft picks and what have you, it's Glenn Sather's not even involved in that. That's one of the reasons I forgot who it was told me to play the Fire Sather chant that was at the Hill when I saw the show live with a draft live. I don't want to play that because, you know, Slack has nothing to do with that. That's Gordy Clark, and I'm a Gordy Clark man, and I believe, because I have on the nothing else to believe in. But, yes, this is an action-packed show. It's full of information and infotainment. So,
who else
and
is
we have Jess Rubenstein.
That's right. Jess should join us in about 10 minutes, give us his thoughts, and we'll play you some more of those Gordy Clark clips, like Eddie just said. And I've got a couple of stories for you from the draft. There's been a lot going on the last couple of days, and today is the one-year anniversary of the Scott Gomez trade. It was a year ago right now that Scott Gomez had been traded for Christopher Higgins and Ryan McDonough and Pavel Valentin. What's his name? No, what the hell? I can't think of his name now. The other guy. Oh. Anyway. And
Higgins,
we were
McDonough?
Higgins, McDonough, and then there was the other guy they got. It was Pavel something. The guy, I don't know. He's a Russian guy. But anyway, and we were all anxiously awaiting the word that Danny Heatley was going to become a Ranger, and obviously that never happened because we were told that the deal was imminent, but it never happened. So anyway, today's the one-year anniversary. Kind of thought maybe they'd pull the trigger on something today, just being the day before free agency, but so far nothing's happened. But, yeah, a lot going on, and we'll get to it all as we go along. And I got to mention this at the top. If you guys haven't seen it yet, you got to go to Ranger Crisis and see the video from Eddie at the draft party. I mean, it's just – it's unbelievable. Everybody's all hyped up. Everybody's all excited, you know, to draft, and they're fired up. People are drinking. They're partying. They're having a good time. And then the pick is made – it's just panic. I mean, people are screaming, and it's like
all the humanity.
I mean, it's just crazy. Some guy's screaming, "The draft is ruined. We're ruined." I mean, it's just unbelievable. If you ever have to ask yourself, why does Eddie call his website Ranger Crisis? Watch that video, and you'll never have to – you'll understand fully. I mean, it was just full-blown panic. I said last night on Facebook, I haven't seen panic like that since the AT-ATs were stomping out Ewoks on Endor. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I mean, just screaming.
People were inconsolable.
It was like – I wanted it. I think you should have like edited in the Hindenburg crashing and like a picture of New Coke and a Yugo. I mean, just all the disasters of pop culture. It was just ridiculous. Relax, everybody. We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Let me play devil's advocate or blue shirt advocate here for those fans. Now, listen, I agree with you. Most of those people, they're off their nut. I mean, you know, if they are just putting that much vested emotion in the NHL draft, it's a little bit squirrely. But, you know, when the Rangers decide to go rogue in the draft and go off the board, or anytime they've ever tried to go rogue in anything, it's always an utter failure. So the fact that every, you know, mock draft had Cam Fowler going fourth or fifth, and the Rangers decide to go with a guy – like, you know, that's just – in some drafts he was rated highly. But a guy that whose stats obviously are not going to jump off the page and grab you and something to be excited about, especially since Cam Fowler was not supposed to be there. So I could see their disappointment, but they overreacted big time. And I knew it was coming. You know, my friend in the video asked me, what do you think is going to happen? What's your prediction? Pain, just like in the Rockies. Get ready. So I wanted that before and after shot because I knew we were going to get jacked. But it turned. I'm confident with the pick now, Jim. You know, and screw. Uh-oh, I'm gearing up here. What are you laughing at?
I was just thinking how they were like. Randolph and Mortimer in Trading Places at the end. Turn those machines back on! We're ruined, yes. Randolph! We're ruined!
And also, a big screw you to Ray Ferraro and Pierre McGuire, you creepy bald bastard. All over Gordy Clark for making that pick over Cam Fowler up there in Canada. Let me tell you something, you two Canadian coots. You absolutely never go against Gordy Clark. He is the master of prognosticators. Man, I messed that rhyme up. He is the dominator of prognosticators. So don't go against Gordy. If you do, you go against me. So screw you, you two bitter ex-Ranger, whatever you were. Gordy, McGuire, bitter about being letting go of the Wolf Pack, and Ray Ferraro being pissed that he was traded to the L.A. Kings. I was pissed, too, when he got traded to the L.A. Kings. We gave away Mattias Nordström in that deal. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, go against Gordy. I am in the Gordy We Trust camp. So.
You don't go against the family. We took an omerta to follow the Rangers.
That's right. We never discussed. Well, speaking of omertas, why don't you tell the fans out there how the Rangers draft setup was different than the rest of the leagues as far as their setup and where they were located.
Well, I don't know if they figure out the seeding arrangement by where they pick or how they do it, but last year from my spot on the media platform, the Rangers were a lot closer. Like I could walk to the side of the platform, kind of climb into the seating area of the Bell Center and walk right up to fairly close to the Rangers table. I did snap a couple of pictures last year. This year, the Rangers were all the way up by the stage, or I don't think they were right at the stage, but they were pretty close. And I really, even with my binoculars, I couldn't really distinguish anybody except the big shock of white hair on the back of Sather's head. I couldn't see his face or anything. And I saw Messier there, and I could see Graves sitting at the table, but that was about all I could see.
And were they highly interactive with the fans? The media?
No. Gordy Clark is, you know, he came out Friday night after the Rangers picked Dylan McIlrath. He came down, he spoke to the media and gave his thoughts and why they picked him. And, you know, we played that for you. We had the video for you. We played the clip of Gordy on the air the other night. And then when the Rangers were all done Saturday, Gordy came out again. And he did a rundown of every pick from two through seven. And we have clips of all of that for you that we'll play as the evening rolls along. And that was it. You know, that was it. And the whole time he's standing there talking, Rangers PR are literally glued to his shoulder, glaring at me some of the time, but that's okay. I expected that. Same thing with Glenn. You know, they stay very close to Glenn in case, in case there's a slip up or in case he becomes unplugged or I don't know, in case he runs out of gas or something. I don't know. But, the draft, especially the second day, it's kind of an atmosphere where the media sits up on a platform and then there's literally a fence, a barricade that separates them from the draft floor, okay? And the media can wander up to the gate of the barricade, and, you know, they can kind of attract people's attention. Like J.D. came over and spoke to the media a little bit, and Joel Quenneville came over and spoke to the media, and guys like Paul Holmgren I've seen do that. Dan Bylsma from the Penguins, he's another one that, you know, he comes over frequently, and he'll speak to people. You know, there's a lot of different NHL executives and coaches that come over to that barricade and will just speak to the media. The Rangers are not among them. The Rangers do not do that. I have not seen in the 2 days of the draft this year or the 2 days of the draft last year, I have not seen one member of the New York Rangers organization come over and speak to the media at that barricade. It's planned. It's scheduled. They're escorted, and when they're done, and that's it.
Wow. Well, it's always good to see that Dopey Rosasco and his media crew just working the crowd, really promoting the game of hockey. Let me tell you something, Babyface Rosasco. I ever see you in a bar or a local pub, I'll beat the snot out of you. Rosie Rosasco, whatever his name is. All right. Anyway, moving on quickly before we talked about the draft and we'll get more to that. What the hell is that? They're cutting people left and right. No more never listens. And releasing is gone. No more Donald Brejol. Brejol is now gone. No more Aaron Vora. No more us. I mean, holy cow. I mean, this is... how the hell did these guys played? I mean, Brejol got sent down. It sounds like every guy they got last year is gone.
Just about. Only, Gabrick. Who else did they get last off season that survived, besides Gabrick?
Boyle.
Great. I think this is Jess calling in on Skype. So why don't we take this call and see if this is him? Jess, is that you?
It could be.
Hey Jess, good evening, and let's welcome to the program Jess Rubenstein from the Prospect Park. Jess, like myself, fresh from the NHL draft. Jess, it was an absolute pleasure to finally get to meet you over the weekend and talk to you, and it was a good time. It was a good time.
It was, Jim, and I'm grateful for the chance. You know, finally get to put a face to somebody I've talked to over the year now, and. You know, I don't know about fresh from the draft, man. I think I finally started to catch up on some sleep last night. I mean, I think I went, I think I had some like 6 hours sleep over the 4 days that I was there because everything was going on. But, you know, and Mouth is right. I mean, I'm listening to him and, you know, Leeson's gone. Hey, you know, we gave Corpus Koski up for that. That's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
You know, it to me, if I'm a Ranger fan right now, I'm very frustrated because while yes, I'm happy that they're doing things to get rid of people, but it's the moves that they made in the first place.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, you think about it with Leeson gone, now essentially they've given up two of their last five first round draft picks. With only a second and a sixth rounder next year to show for it, right?
Yeah.
Or I should say a sixth rounder this year and a second rounder next year. And you know, say what you want about Korpakoski, whether or not he's going to amount to anything, but you know, still, bottom line is they got nothing to show for it now.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And that's frustrating because. You know, I think what bothers me the most about all this, about seeing Sanguinetti traded, seeing Corpus Koski traded, is the fact that they never gave these kids a chance to really show themselves. And I didn't want Leeson in the first place, but you invested the money in Corpus Koski, you brought him over, you paid him a couple of $1 million a year, you did the same thing with Sanguinetti, and Sanguinetti, I'm surprised it took him this long to finally trade him, because I had heard through the grapevine that he had long fallen out of Ranger favor. I mean, that's why Delzato got selected. And then you gotta start going, hey guys, we have to come up with a system. We have to have a battle plan and stick to it. And if it means that we're going to stick to picking X number of players a certain way, do it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well,
I couldn't
yeah.
agree with you more.
I think I agree with Jess mainly because he agreed with me first. But it's kind of like, you know, all right, you're going to get rid of. A prospect, you got to get something back in return for the long term to replace that investment you have in a first round pick. And what they get, they got a guy that they barely played, And I think the Korpakovsky move was more done because he was a Rennie guy, and Tortorella wanted to put his stamp on the team. And although that stamp is a little bit, shady or blemished, but not according to Mark Messier, though. Hey, speaking of which, Jess, I don't want to interrupt you. Can you play that Mark Messier was on WFAN today, and he was asked about John Tortorella. Can you play that clip, Jim?
Sure. Just let me pull it up real quick here.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to hear it because I want to see
what...
if Messier's drinking Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
I only have one other hockey question because Boomer's the hockey guy here, so let me just get it out of the way, and then I'll let you guys do your thing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
As a guy who played for Mike Keenan, and we all know who Mike is and you know the kind of guy he is, and won a cup with him, and don't lie to me, because we have a rule on this show, as you know, you're a frequent guest. You lie to women, you lie to kids, you don't lie to men, all right? You do not like Tortorella, is that fair to say?
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes.
I like Tortorella. I think he's a great coach.
You do?
Who, me?
I do. I think he's, I don't know if there's many guys that could have coached that team to the success that we had last year. I think he's a demanding coach, but I think he's a guy that that obviously has won before, so he comes with that kind of background. And to me, that you know, coaching is not an easy profession. I certainly have a lot of respect for it, being around it the last or you know, my whole career, and the guys that I've coached and coached well. But I don't have a problem with John Tortorella coaching this team.
That's because he doesn't have to play for him.
He really said that was really Mark Messier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not opposing you.
You know what I like?
Success. Not making the playoffs is a success.
Come on, guys. Come on, don't be pulling a practical joke on me. That can't be Mark Messier.
But I like
that.
I like
Mark Messier.
I like when who is it? Craig Carton, when he says to Messier, "You don't like Messier. Or you don't like Tortorella." And Messier pulls the Beetlejuice. Who? Me? What? Who? What? Who? Me? What? Huh? What are you talking? What you talking about, Willis? I love Tortorella. Of course I love Tortorella. Good God. Corporate.
I mean, seriously, I just think it's pure balls by the Rangers organization to think that hockey fans in New York, because this was a New York show, an FAN, to try to bamboozle us into thinking that we had a successful year. We're so dumb, we're not even going to question this. I mean, it's absolute garbage. And it's scary. Jess, how about if he becomes GM? He's going to be just like one of these robots, telling everything is great in Rangerland why it's terrible. Oh.
Well, all I can say is, do you know the way to San Jose? I mean, that's the team that my satellite says is my home team. But I tell you what, you know, if you didn't see from what happened with Wayne Gretzky as a coach of the Coyotes, the rule's going to tell you very rarely are you going to get a great player turning into a great anything in hockey afterwards. It's usually the guys who, you know, the guys who can't do anything. You know, what's his name? The defenseman Rangers had that went back to Edmonton. I forget. God. Great in the locker room, Steve something or other. He's going to make a great coach.
Jason
Strudwick? Strudwick.
Mandog,
Strudwick's going to make a great coach because Strudwick, you know, well, he spent a lot of time on the bench, 6 minutes a game. He got to study everything. Guys that are paying 30 minutes a game, they're not studying anything.
Well, and Jess, it's just like that in all sports. It's the guy that's got time to sit on the bench and sit next to the manager and learn the, you know, learn the nuances of managing the game that are the guys that are usually successful. I mean, look at a guy like Joe Girardi. I mean, you know, or you know, Bobby Valentine. You know, those guys weren't great players. They were, you know, they rode the bench and learned the game. You know, and the same thing in all sports, that the superstars usually don't make good coaches. Look at, you know, Magic Johnson or Michael Jordan. Or
we're going to be turning out a lot of Scotty Bowmans, I can tell you that much, and Valise and Aaron Voros.
I think poor Mouth is like going through, you know, Leeson withdrawal. No more man love.
I hate the guy. You know what? I just hate that he was never given a chance. You know, I mean, and he was made the whipping boy. Because I've been made the whipping boy many times. So I could kind of feel for Enver Leeson. But that withdrawal is ended.
I don't. You know, and the reason I don't is because it was a bad trade in the first place. I mean, hello, this guy had a minus, 28, minus 35 career plus minus. Everybody and their mother saw that on a piece of paper, except Glenn Sather when he made the trade. You know, all they saw was, hey, he's got speed. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. That's just like John Tortorella telling us that, you know, Wade Ridden, he's going to be an important part of our team, folks.
He's the best first passer in the league.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
And what do you want to talk?
I've been looking forward to talking to you because, you know, there's a lot of people around here got their opinions up in Canada. You dopey Pierre McGuire's dopey Ray Ferraro. And I read your article, and it was right on the Prospect Park about those two guys being bitter. They were thrown out of the Rangers organization. So they've been talking down Gordy Clark. I want to hear you, if you can, go through the picks and maybe let us know what you think. People go to you. They don't go to those dummies. And
I'll say it's a 50-50 draft. I call it a 50-50 draft. I'll be the first to admit, and Jim will tell you this, because Thursday night when Jim and I, you know, when I talked with Jim Friday, I kept saying eat him. I kept saying eat him. And to be honest, McGrath wasn't on my radar because I never thought that the Rangers would even consider him. I mean, I'm being honest. I was so sure, just like everybody else, that the Rangers were going to go offense. And McGrath, I mean, I'm sorry, he did not fit in what John Tortorella wants to do. But now I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to remember what Jim told me Friday night when he said Jim pointed out, looking at the stitches on McGrath's jersey, he was a guy the Rangers targeted. And as far as I'm concerned, the fact that the Rangers wanted him made it a huge effort to point towards him. It's going to say something. I'll give Rangers credit for it. And then at the same time, I got to go back and read Prospect Park for the last 5 years. And what's the one thing I've been saying the Rangers have been needing? Oh, hey, we need another Jeff Bookaboom. We need a shutdown defenseman. And Gordy Clark went out and got one. And people are pissed off about it?
Yeah, well, I think what people are pissed off is that they saw Cam Fowler, who was so highly rated, as I said in the beginning, slip to the Rangers, and then the Rangers went, like I said, they went rogue on the board, and they saw the guy's stats, and it was, you know, they led with 10 fighting majors. But wouldn't you say, Jess, that it is Gordy Clark's mentality not to draft where a guy is right at present, but where he thinks he's going to be when he's ready for the NHL. And I think he did that with Kreider last year, and it certainly worked out so far. And I think he's doing with this with a Jeff Bookaboom or a Shea Weber, whatever you want to call him, type in McElrath. Would you agree with me there?
Well, yeah, I got to agree with you because, I was sitting next to the guys from the CHL during the draft, and I had B.D. Galloff of Hockey Independent on the other side, and I was, I'm watching it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, they got to take Fowler. They got to take Fowler. They didn't take Fowler. And
right.
But you know what? It's easy for us. Even me, I see a ton of junior games. It's easy for somebody to sit back and go, oh, the Rangers made a bad pick here. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like half the picks that the Rangers did make. I thought that they could do better with the draft, but when you're getting a monster, I mean, the guy's nickname is The Undertaker.
Yeah, I remember it was like, we're getting a wrestler. Somebody yelled at that draft party, we're getting Wade Belak 2.0. I mean, it was chaos.
Well, I had not dealt with Moose Jaw in a long time, so I emailed the Western Hockey League, my guy up there, and the first thing that guy pointed out is to say, do you know McGrath's defense in the first three games of the Calgary series was why Moose Jaw almost pulled off the upset of the playoffs? I mean, Calgary went 16-7 in the Western Hockey League playoffs. Three of those losses came at the hands of Moose Jaw at the opening round. Moose Jaw just didn't have the depth to finish the job. But they put the eventual Western Hockey League team, Western Hockey League champ, to a seventh game.
Weren't they the bottom seed in that?
They were the last team to make it into the playoffs.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, you know, I didn't like that Michael Delzato was a Ranger last year. I know everybody's saying, you know, that's dumb. He made the rookie team. I still believe that Delzato, and those who know me know why, should have had a year dominating the OHL, then come to the NHL. But part of it was because, oh my God, look who they had. Look at Delzato's partners last year.
I agree with you. I mean, I think there are a certain amount of experts that do agree that Delzato would have been best served playing another year in the O. But let's try to stick to it. So where are you on McElrath? You're kind of 50-50 on him then. You're not
I got to talk to Gordy Clark, just like Jim and everybody else did, and Gordy said something that kind of stands out. He said, we went away from getting physical guys, and I felt that we needed to get back to that. And if you look at that was the theme for this draft. I mean, if you look at the picks. With Thomas, not a chance. He's a physical player. Fast, I know just a little bit. They say he's an offensive machine, but if he's a Swede, he also means he's a two-way player. But all the other guys, big, burly, I'm going to jump you if you breathe wrong type players. And,
right.
All right, everybody's going to – let's start with the first round. Rangers take McGrath. Dallas then follows with Campbell. Anaheim takes Fowler. Fowler is, as anybody that knows, is a poor man's version of Michael Delzato, only he's slower. And Fowler is a great player. Don't get me wrong, but – a little bit of his numbers are inflated because he played with Taylor Hall and that very, very loaded Windsor Spitfire lineup. Mm-hmm. The other defenseman was Brandon Gromley. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Name the last defenseman from the queue who actually knew how to play defense.
Serge Savard. See? I was quick.
Yeah, I know, that was when Jim was just starting to turn gray.
Oh,
oh boy, I shot there. All right, so
like that was.
So let's get your let's move on to the second pick, Steve Thomas's boy there. It's a little eye on the blood in him. I'll take it though.
I didn't like the pick because, and I'll be honest. All right, I tell this to people all the time. I have a soft spot in my heart for the Portland Winterhawks. I mean, they're the team that, you know, when I'm watching a Ranger player in the Western Hockey League, I'm doing it from Portland. So I get to see Portland probably 10, 12 times more than anybody else in hockey. I see them because I get to sleep in my bed at night after I see them. They take Kristen Thomas when Toronto, three picks later, takes Brad Ross. And, Jim, I told you about Ross, and this is what's going to happen. You know, Brad Ross, number four was Johansson, number five was Niederreiter. But, you know, there's a third person on that line, and it was Brad Ross. They called that line the four-letter word line of Nino, Ryan, and Brad. Ross goes in, he gets in your face. He's Matt Barnaby with more offense. He's Sean Avery, only he's more funny.
I heard him described as I heard him described at the draft as Avery with talent.
Yeah.
Wow.
And better looking girlfriends.
Don't be picking on my Sean. I can see Jackie Lama right now. Don't be picking on my Shawnee.
I'll be honest with you. You know, I didn't know anything about Kristen Thomas, and you know, he walks out for his press conference, and I thought, my God, is he 12 years old? I mean, it was nothing. He's 5 foot nothing and 160 pounds. He's listed as 165 pounds. You know, I think my left leg weighs more than he does. But
I really feel sorry for this kid because you know what I was thinking. I got to Saturday morning really late. I overslept, and then I had to wait on that bus that took us to down there. And so I got there just in time to put my computer down. The Rangers select Kristen Thomas, and I look up there, and you know what's the first thing I'm thinking? Remember the first round where all those kids were going up when they were drafting when they announced the players?
Yeah.
I thought somebody brought their kid with them from the Rangers.
Like the little wanger.
Yeah, the little wanger. And, you know, I don't mean to make fun of the kid. I mean, he played it.
Make fun of him.
Well.
Oh, you're talking about Wang or Thomas?
Well, here's my thing about it. The one thing that I will be real critical about the Ranger picks is that they did go away from one area that I think they should never go away from, is they drafted guys from teams that aren't winners. Moose Jaw, you can make an argument they're on their way up. They just snuck in. But Oshawa, that's a team that Adam Graves owns a piece of. They are in such a mess there. They've got, let's put it this way, they've got an owner down there, the OHL version of James Dolan.
Oh, James Dolan,
I mean,
oh yeah.
You know?
Oh, a sound franchise. What you're saying is they're sound and they're pointed in the right direction.
I think that the Rangers could have gone for Brad Ross. They could have gone, you know, if you're looking for scoring, there were a couple of other options there that would have actually fit in. Curtis Hamilton, who fell down to 48. I mean, he played with Sam Klassen. So, you know, okay, yeah, I've seen him more, so I'm a little more biased towards him. The difference being that Hamilton, I know, has, you know, he weighs like 200 pounds. So if he runs into a board, he's not going to, you know, you're not going to have to hold your breath.
I got to agree with, you know, on this Kristen Thomas pick already. I know it's so hard to predict in the future, but you already have, you know, coming in this year, we got the Frodo from Modo, right? Zuccarello Olsen, whatever his name is, right? We got Ryan Bork, right?
Yeah.
I got news for you, folks. The guy is shorter than me, all right? And I ain't towering over anybody except maybe the late, great Gary Coleman. So, you know, and now they draft another Shrimpo. I think you it doesn't make a lot of sense. But again, you know, you don't know what's going to happen 4 years down the line. But you're right. It looks like they went more. It looks like they picked guys on bad teams, which I don't know. I mean, it does confuse me. Do you think that pick was made because he played on Adam Graves' team, you know, the team he has part ownership in?
Well, yeah, I do, because Graves is the one that told the Rangers, hey, take a look at this guy. And, you know, and I'm not saying that they did that as a favor to Graves. I think that the Rangers honestly, truly believed that Thomas, who did, yes, he had 41 goals. But what else did he do? He didn't do anything else. But see, did you go, and now you're going to see when I go Brad Ross. What did Brad Ross do? Okay, Brad Ross basically protected Niederreiter and Johansson. Brad Ross was a pest. Brad Ross put up 68 points on 20 goals. Brad Ross played defense. Brad Ross went into the corners. Brad Ross is going to make Toronto a harder team to play with. Christian Thomas is going to, you know, you're going to wonder about. And I do want to address Ryan Bourque for a second. Ryan Bourque may be, you know, no bigger than, you know, Emmanuel Lewis and Gary Coleman. But he's got the best forecheck among any Ranger prospect.
Wow. Heavy praise, indeed.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what, and I feel for this guy because, first of all, his name is Bourque. Can you imagine the pressure that kid's playing under?
Yeah.
He's playing under. I mean, no matter what he does, I mean, it's always going to be, well, you know, his dad, it's because of his dad or dad. And, but
right.
I'll tell you what, on his, you know, Stefan, Kreider, and Bourque are the three amigos. They are like the biggest hockey nerds I've ever seen. They talk hockey, they sleep hockey, I think they date hockey. When they get up, they get on the phone, they talk to each other. They talk to each other about what they're doing. I mean, they eat, sleep, drink, breathe, die hockey. The three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we love Chris Kreider, don't we?
Love Chris Kreider.
We love Derek Stepan.
Love Derek Stepan.
So where's the love for Ryan Bourque?
I'm not saying I don't love the guy.
I know. But see, that's my point.
What I liked about Ryan was in the junior championships, they asked him to do a different role, and he did it. And it was one of the reasons they succeeded. And that shows me a lot. When you're asked
That is exactly the point. I mean, Bourque chose team over glory.
Right. And I like that.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, you're asking a kid who's got to live with, he's playing with the weight of the world on his back, and he put his ego aside, never said a word. And you want to go back there, go look at the stats. Who scored against that penalty kill in the World Juniors?
Right.
Now, Bourque was out there.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I
agree with you. All right, let's go on to the fourth round. I love that pick.
All right, now yeah, I wanted to mention the fourth pick, Andrew Yogan, from the hockey hotbed of Boca Raton, Florida. But we were standing at his press conference, Jess, and you turned to me and you said, he's the steal of the draft. Tell us why.
Yep. Because he was the victim of one of the dirtiest shots in the 2008 playoffs, 2009 playoffs, and he didn't really recover. So he had a struggle last season, but he plays for Erie in the OHL, and Gary's where Mitch Carlton was. So I saw a lot of this guy. When he's out on the ice, he makes everybody better. I mean, he's a 6'3", 200 pounds. He's got really soft hands. He gets on the ice. When you see him on the ice and he sets up in the crease, he's got that low center of gravity that makes him really hard to move. And because of that, you got both defensemen in front of the crease having to worry about him. You've got instant power play because this guy is almost impossible to get out of there. The screen set up, he's playing for Robbie Fatorik.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I mean,
love Robbie.
He struggled through some injuries, and it's funny because I'm friends with Victor Fernandez who covers the Otters, and Paul Roper, who's the voice of the Otters, and the first thing out of their mouth was, "Oh, good move. You're getting a 6'3" power forward in the fourth round. Somebody with soft hands, and if he hadn't been hurt, I mean, he would have put up 40 goals. And you watch this year. He's going to put up 40 goals if he stays healthy. He's going to be one of the go-to players in the Ontario Hockey League.
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'll tell you what. He's I think, 18, and he's already 205. He's 6'3", 205. Right?
We need the meat.
This is a kid that's not afraid to go into the corners and fight for the puck. You know, he will scramble the eggs when he goes in there. He will take a check to make a play. And he will also come to the aid of a teammate if in trouble. And you got to like guys like that because he's got the character, he's got the heart, and he's more importantly, he's got the desire.
Now,
he stays healthy, he'll be good.
Okay, go ahead. Say if he stays healthy.
If he stays healthy, he will be second line player.
Oh, I love it. Now, Jim, don't you have a clip with Andrew Yogan? You and Jess are like part of the elite media down there. I feel like I'm talking to stars here. You guys are Hollywood. You went Hollywood on me. But don't you have a clip of you guys and Jim?
Wait. I went Hollywood.
Okay,
I was wearing a jacket. Jim was just walking around in sneakers.
I was not No. Hold on a minute. First, I wore sneakers the second day because my feet hurt so goddamn bad. I couldn't stand it. You know what? I could have wore sneakers and a tank top, but I'd still look better than half the people covering that draft, including a certain Ranger beat writer.
Oh, hi, Larry.
Yeah, exactly. Hello, Larry. Anyway.
Here I am. I mean, I'm fretting over everything because I don't usually deal with the NHL guys. I come in there and I'm wearing a $150 jacket. I'm thinking, hey, I've been hanging out with Sean Avery, and I'm sitting there and everybody else is nice, cool, and collected, and I'm dying in this monkey suit.
Yeah, especially the second day. I casualed up the second day, and I think next year I'm going to actually even kick it to jeans next year on the second day. It's just too much running around to be dressed nice. I don't know how long this is. This is Rangers fourth round pick, Andrew Yogan. Let's see how this. Okay, I don't remember. We got so many of these. I don't remember. Here we go. Let's play it.
Tell us about the type of player you are with the Otters.
I'm a power forward. I'm really good at the puck. I like to score, but I'm not afraid to mix it up.
What were you thinking today and then just kind of sitting there waiting?
I was so anxious. I wanted to get drafted so bad. It finally happened. I'm so excited right now. And I can't even explain what I'm feeling. So.
Did you go to original 16 like the Rangers?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's awesome. You know, it's a great team and a great area. You know, I'm just so excited right now.
And you're from Boca Raton?
Yeah,
Boca Raton. And the guy from Boca get into hockey?
Random, just friends and connections. So it's, I mean, it's just great right now.
You start playing roller hockey down there?
No, I went straight to the ice. Yeah, after the Panthers went to that cup run, that's when I started. So.
Yeah. It'd be kind of a neat feeling to be the first South Florida kid.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. And hopefully there's going to be some more coming up soon in the next draft. So.
It's become big. I mean, Incredible Ice.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can't get ice time there, so maybe you're starting it off.
No, it's definitely starting to get really big now, so I'm so excited right now.
Your family won't have part in go watch you when you come down to play the Panthers.
Yeah. Actually, Panthers and the Rangers don't really mix too well, but I'll say Rangers
there's
now.
There's
always
a lot of Rangers fans there anyway. What did you think with...
Florida Junior Panthers in Florida.
What did you think when the Panthers had their pick today? Were you...
Okay. That was the gist of it. The rest of it, I think, was about the Panthers and you heard that was Jess in the beginning with a couple of questions, and then me having lived in South Florida, it just really amazed me that the Rangers had just drafted somebody from Boca Raton, so I had to ask him about that.
Right, and that was a little bit that was pretty hard to listen to. I don't know. Somebody said it sounded like a fake sports channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, they can't all be all... My friend Johnny Hill says they can't all be gems.
That's right. Hey, look, this was perfectly produced broadcasting, I wouldn't have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go work a real job. All right, so skipping ahead, Jess, tell us about Jason Wilson, the fifth-round pick.
I don't like the pick. It's you know what? Here's the craziest part about this draft. This draft was so off kilter that there's a good chance that the fifth round in this draft is going to produce more players, more serviceable, dependable players for the NHL than any of the other rounds. And I'm talking about guys who are going to have 10, 15-year careers, because there's guys in this round that were just unbelievable that they fell that far. Jason Wilson, he played like 46 games last year, 55 the year before. This is a kid that if it's lightning out, don't stand next to him because the lightning's going to find him.
Boy, that's a vote of confidence.
I'm not saying it to be mean. I'm just saying that this kid, even black cats avoid him. He's had so much bad luck. But you know, when he's gotten in there, he put up 35 points in those 46 games on an 0-sound team that is just like really, really, really bad. It's like, oh, let's put it this way: 0-sound at times plays like Bill Murray's character from Caddyshack.
It's in the hole.
Yeah, boom. But Wilson, like I said, he's a hard luck kid, and I'd say this is a gamble by the Rangers that if this kid ever can get healthy, that he might become something. 17 goals in 46 games is not bad for a guy who's played maybe one full season over the last 3 years. And if he and Owen Sound turned it around and he stays healthy, he could be a good third round crunch, I'm going to go in the corners, knock you on your butt type player. He's a 6'2". He's 205 pounds. He plays with a hard nose. He plays with an edge. And, you know, he is like most of the guys that the Rangers picked. But, you know, in this case, this is one of those, wow, you know, you really could add a V8. In this round, there was a kid who went 134th. He went five picks later, named Cody Beach, who plays for Calgary. Cody Beach is 6'5", humongous kid who's still growing. His he's the kid brother of the infamous Beach family, and he fights like a crazy man. But
yeah.
he wound up with JD and the Blues.
All right, now let's move on to the sixth round. Now, I know about this sixth round pick, Jesper Fast, is that he skates so fast that if he takes a slap shot from the point, it hits him in the head coming around the back of the net.
I've got a friend who works for the International Ice Hockey Federation, and he knows the kid pretty well. He tells me Rangers could have got themselves a good two way player. If the Rangers leave him alone, he's a good two way player.
Jesper Fast.
Jesper Fast. He plays for HV 71, and he's going to play in the Elite League. So
he's a Swedish Elite League player. Okay, I get it.
Yeah,
I'm a little slow.
He played in their junior league, and first thing out of my friend's mouth when I read the email was Carl Hagler. Remember what you said about him? And the one thing you will say about Swedish players today is no matter what, you're getting a two-way player right off the bat. They're going to play defense first. They're going to be well-conditioned. They're going to be sound fundamentally. This kid does have speed, and this kid does have some skill. And like my friend said, he said Rangers can't touch him for 2 years. He's got a contract, but in the 2 years, he's going to play all the time. He's going to work his way up the ladder, and if he keeps on the path that he's going, I'm a huge Carl Hagelin fan. If the Rangers found themselves another Carl Hagelin, then I'm not going to cry about this pick. Not at all.
Is that all? Couple questions from the chat room. Did he play for Ulf Dahlin over there in Sweden?
That's what I was told. And
okay.
if you want to look him up, the best place to go look for this guy's numbers is eliteprospects.com. And Jim, if you want, I'll send you the link.
Don't go there now, though.
Well, no, nice. I didn't say go there now. Jim, stop typing. If you don't have the link, Jim, I can send you the link. What's put this way? Elite Prospects likes him. I'm still waiting for somebody to say that they don't like him, and that's probably Pierre McGuire and Ray Ferraro who say he sucks. You know.
Now. Let me ask you something, Jess, because this is what I've been hearing, and you know, I kind of want your confirmation on this train of thought that's now going on, that the Russian players have kind of diminished in their skill set, so to speak. They're not well-rounded players, and that perhaps the Finnish and Swedes are much more. This kind of ties in with Hagelin, is that that they're more complete players, and the Russian pool of talent has kind of diminished. Is that true?
That's exactly what I told Jim. That's exactly what I'm telling anybody nowadays. We think of Russian hockey as the highest of levels, but we also remember Russian hockey when it was actually the Soviet Union and the state was funding everything. Well, now it's a democracy and they want to own a pro league, so the Hockey Federation is not getting the money it once got from the state, so the situation has changed dramatically. And yes, the Swedes have passed the Russians. The Swedes have actually passed the Canadians in terms of pure fundamental play. I mean, they drill for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then they practice on the game. They work on the stick handling, the skating, the defense. The first thing I saw of Carl Hagelin when I first saw him when he came over from Sweden was the fact that this kid knew how to position himself in every situation. And that's what a Swede does. The Finns, they're getting there too because the Finns are sitting there looking at the Swedes going, you know, that's not a bad idea. And I'll tell you who else is doing it. The Slovakians are doing it too. That's why you're seeing Slovakia coming up in the sports world, because Slovakia is not only investing in their junior program, but during the season, their Slovakian national junior team plays in the adult league as a team.
Okay. Yeah.
You can't argue with a situation like that.
Now, Mitch Becker's come in the room, and he says, tell Jeff that he needed me to bring out the best of his hockey coverage of the draft like I did with him in 07. Oh, Mitch Becker. What do you say to that?
Hey, Jim?
Yeah?
You met Stephanie Bagley?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. If I have a choice of sitting next to Mitch Beck or Stephanie, all those in favor of sitting next to Mitch Beck, please become an Islander fan.
Oh, wow.
All right. Hey, Stephanie, I'll tell you what.
I got to break this up for a second. Hey, you chuckleheads in the chat room. Listen, I don't want to hear, because we'll see your critiques of the show while I'm on the air. Go instant message each other. I mean, it's ridiculous. Oh, this show is going south. Yeah, real fast. Stupid bastards.
Hey,
all right. They want
you know
to move on and get
Wait.
The seventh round.
And that
Hold on.
And
Wait
this
a
was
minute.
Brought to you by Blogspot Radio.
Hey, Mouth, you know what we could do? We could always
what?
Do this. You want to bitch and complain? I got that Randy Van Warmer clip queued up any minute we need it. All right.
I think my dog needs to be walked or something.
On to the seventh round pick, Randy McNaught. What do you think?
I'm still scratching my head on that one.
This guy's a slab of meat with hockey gloves on, I'll say that much.
Yeah, that's basically it. The seventh round is supposed to be your gamble round. You know, kind of like put the blindfolds on and toss it. And Jim, I didn't tell you. I told the Islander blogger BD Galoff. I said that in the seventh round, if I had a chance to grab a kid, I would grab Mac Caruth, who's a goalie for the Winterhawks. I said that he slipped in under the radars, and sure enough, the very next person picked by the Chicago Blackhawks was goalie Mac Caruth. The Rangers didn't take a goalie. That's a big mistake. I'm one of those believers that you draft a goalie every year. You try to, you know, if you can get a, if you got Benoit Allaire, and if he's that great of a goalie guru, then he turns these kid goalies into big assets. If you could turn a seventh round pick into somebody who's going to be trade bait and get, you know, a second or third out of it, you win.
Yeah, there were a lot of people at the draft that thought the Rangers would take a goaltender. Russ Cohen thought they should take one in the second round, but it didn't happen. And you asked Gordy about it, and what did Gordy say when you asked him why they didn't take a goaltender?
He thought that after the other two, there wasn't anybody really out there, and I totally disagree with him. There's a lot of good goalies in this draft. Mac Caruth is the best example. You get him for a seventh round pick. You're getting him at the end of the draft, a kid who's going to be playing for Portland, who's going to be one of the top contenders for the Memorial Cup next year. And before people laugh, go look at the draft. Go see how many Portland Winterhawk players were drafted in this draft alone. Eight players off of a very young Winterhawk roster. And you watch next year. Everybody's going to know who Mac Caruth is. And the Rangers are going to go, you know, Gordy, you missed on that one.
Well, we always have Zabba the Greek or Ocho Stinko or, you know, whatever we got going down there in the mines.
You would have loved him.
Zappa the Greek.
Yeah. Ralph, you would have had fun. His name is Macmillan Caruth.
Oh, Macmillan Caruth. Wow.
Yes, you would have basically had a ton of fun with this guy.
Now, so what about the Rangers' sixth pick? I mean, a lot of the fight fans love this guy.
I like McGrath. I like Youngin. If Wilson stays away from Lightning, I kind of like that pick. But Thomas, I think, was a head scratcher. McNaught, I watched him play for Chilliwack in Saskatchewan last year, and I'm still trying to figure out what he did for those guys. He was on the bench. I know that because I saw his number. He's a big body. I saw him on the bench a lot, but I just don't know what the Rangers were thinking when they took him. And if you remember, Jim, when we were talking, he was also the only player that Gordy didn't talk about.
Yeah, that is true. So, anyway, all right. Well, there you have it, guys. There's the official wrap-up from the Prospect Park on the Rangers draft. 50-50, Jess is calling it.
Yeah.
Jess, we appreciate you coming on with us and taking some time.
Yeah,
we're gonna talk about some free agents and by the time we get done with that show,
no.
Just say no. Yeah, we're gonna get into it. All right, Jess. Well, we'll talk to you soon. All right.
Hey, Mouth, I'm expecting a T-shirt, a hat to be mailed out to my house. You know.
You will.
Okay.
You will do it. All right, it's in the mail.
Take care, guys.
All right, Jess, thanks.
Thanks, and thanks for having me.
Anytime.
No
Talk
problem.
To you soon.
Prospect Park blog. Check it out.
That was the great Jess Rubenstein. All right, we got 50 minutes to go. We're going to get into some free agents, and we'll take some phone calls in just a minute. First, I'm going to play another one of the Gordy Clark clips that we have. And this is Gordy talking on fourth-round pick Andrew Yogan.
Bart Yogan, he actually was a very highly rated player at the beginning of the year, 6'3", he's out of Florida.
Close the door.
Probably lacked a little, upbringing as far as in the real hard hockey background. But
close
the door. His dad was I think that both parents were in... Dad's a pilot, mom's a stewardess, and he had the availability to get on planes and go to Toronto to go play hockey. So he really had a passion to get in there. And he's got, he can skate. He's a big guy that can skate, and he was just inconsistent, this year. A big guy can skate and score goals. And it's all about consistency, and I think that's just a lack of the competition he had growing up.
I read somewhere, did he have the concussion this year?
Concussion was this year. No, it was this
year.
Yeah.
So that probably threw him off a little bit.
Yep.
And you think that
that was set you back?
No, issue with
no, that's all been, he's been, I watch him play a lot during the year.
After he came back.
When you see a guy who's lacks consistency, does that raise some questions?
Well, I think you don't get taken in the second and third. That's what happened.
That's why you fall.
That's what happened. Because he's got all the size and ability to be taken there. Mm-hmm. And I think he understands that.
It seemed like you had like a pattern. The kids that you took today, they played on struggling teams, but they were key performers for that struggling team. Were you just thinking ahead that they were?
No, I can't tell you that it was a pattern to the pattern was I got a D, then I wanted to look, I wanted to look for the centers just sort of as we lined them up, got taken. But you still need scoring. You still need scoring and speed, and those guys were there, and that's why I went with them. I would have told you that Yogan I thought would be gone. We weren't really sure that Thomas was going to get to us in the second, so it was more what the ability, between the speed and the scoring that they had, that was I was more interested than the fact they played on struggling teams.
There you have it.
Wow.
Gordy Clark talking about fourth-round pick Andrew Yogan. And, you know, he said he had a concussion, but they saw him play afterwards and that he's fine and they're not concerned about it. So, yeah, hopefully he could be a player for him. He's a big kid. And, you know, with the exception of Christian Thomas, who was like a, you know, he could pose for trophies. The Rangers drafted a lot of big guys. And, you know, I think, you know, all year long we talked to you guys, and that was a lot of you, you know, your biggest problem. They don't have enough big guys, enough guys that can get in the corner and play with grit. And, well, that's what they went for.
Well,
so,
you know, for the fans out there that, you know, the Ricky O's of the world, listen, I'm down with Ricky O's. This was a draft where the Rangers got, you know, they got some guys that are, you know, large bodies, like to drop the gloves. Although Riccio has told me that he viewed some of the fight tapes McElrath had, and that he wasn't a decisive victor in any of the fights. So I think he's just a tough kid. I don't think he's gonna, you know, everybody's like, oh, we just drafted Dave Manson and the whole thing. I don't foresee that. I hope he develops, as far as McElrath goes, like a Shea Weber, got, you know, Dion Phaneuf. We'll take that. That's what we want. So,
Our draft is ruined. We're ruined. What are they doing?
It's a total failure.
It's a total failure.
Now,
all right. You want to take calls? What do you want to do?
Well, I want to just talk about one thing that's really now. You know, I as much as I said, let's not blame Glenn Sather for the draft if you have any problems with it, because as it's been said, Gordy Clark has said it himself. It was my job. It's my job to do the draft. So if you have a problem with the draft, take it up with Gordy Clark. With this issue I'm about to bring up now with Mark Stahl, feel free to point the cannon right in front of that old guy's face and light the light the fuse and blow him away, because how can you be messing around with Mark Stahl and his contract? How much could have Mark Stahl asked for? Whatever if he sees a clown like Wade Redden make $6 million a year, if he has the they should write him. I know there's, you know, I know they got cap and everything, but like that. But they got to sign this guy for whatever he wants. He has paid his dues, and he deserves to back up that Brinks truck and get his payday. What do you guys think, chat room callers, and most importantly, you, Jim?
I agree. Look, you know, and this is the thing that, you know, we've been talking about this all year. We've been talking about this since September. Stahl was going to have to be signed. You know, his contract was going to be up, and they waited and they waited and they waited. And, you know, is it a felony to re-sign the guy during the season and get this taken care of and not have it hanging over your head come July? You know, we saw it with Dubinsky last year, and you know,
again, yeah.
I don't give a shit what anybody says. You know, I don't give a crap what anybody says. Dubinsky had a price he had to pay for it when he came back to camp, and you know, I can't blame the players if they feel like they're not getting treated fairly, and they don't think they get a fair offer. You know, if they don't show up at camp, well, that's their right. You know, but he had a price to pay for it when he came back to camp. Do we want to see Mark Stahl go through the same thing? I sure as hell don't. We need him. He's the only defenseman they got.
Right. We're going to get dragged out again because this old man, this old coot, he feels insulted that people want to get paid, that it should be, they should feel like it's a privilege to play for the New York Rangers and him. Don't they realize this team stinks? The team, guys, you know I love the Rangers, but we watched those games last year. They were boring. Boring, losing hockey. For his services, and there's only three guys worthwhile really on the whole team that you can say that are above average hockey players, and you can argue about Callahan, Bitsky, all you want. But Lundqvist, Gavrik, and Stahl. James Patrick told me Mark Stahl is one of the top defensemen in the league. Now, you got to give him the payday. Now, NTB's saying 4 for $14 million. Do I think that's unreasonable? I think he should get paid more. Hey, you know what, John Newman? If you don't like the fucking show, get out of here, you dope. You jackass. Now, what I'm saying is they've got to give him his due. This is not a, it's not a privilege play for the Rangers. He probably want to play with his brothers. So, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. He always gets agitated when these players come at him with a higher figure than he figures that they should come with. He did this with Antropov and Dubinsky, and, it's going to be another drag-out session. They don't take care of business, this franchise. I mean, it's absolutely it's disgusting.
And yet, at the same time, he doesn't mind throwing the first National Bank of Dolan at a piece of crap like Wade Redden. Right? It makes no sense. He'll pay Wade Redden, who had absolutely no ties, no loyalty, had not paid his dues with the Rangers. He'll pay him $39 million, but Mark Stahl, he's going to nickel and dime. Mark Stahl, who should be a career New York Ranger, and like you said, he's rated as one of the top defensemen in the league, but he's going to nickel and dime him, and he's going to create a bad situation. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got a lot of phone calls on the line.
Well, everybody call in. Give me your opinion. Everybody thinks I think $5 million a year is crazy. Now Jeff Diamond's asking us about the book from 2 weeks ago. Jeff, this is random. You can't give me random thoughts in this chat room. I got John Newman telling me the show stinks, and now you're going with the book? What are you guys trying to drive me crazy over here?
And just think, tomorrow night at 9:00, we're going to do this all over again. All right, we're going to run through these phone calls really quick tonight, guys. All right, so let's go. First up, let's get to it. 631-974. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Yeah, it's the Crazy Greek.
The Crazy Greek. What's going on,
oh,
buddy?
Oh, Costa.
Ed, I want to talk to you, Ed. I have a question for you.
Sure.
How much money did you spend on the New York Rangers last season?
Not much. Ballpark.
Yeah.
Ballpark? Does this include like alumni events or just the current Ranger team?
I'm talking about games. I'm talking about like if you went to the casino night, stuff like that. Or merchandise.
I didn't go to any of that stuff, and I think I went to four or five games, and I paid for two games. The other one, right. Nice.
What
people, I was a what? Guest, John Newman, who I just yelled at, gave me a nice Jackie Lomba, who I haven't yelled at yet, or probably won't yell at. But, they were
anyways,
nice enough, and they gave me free time.
Anyways.
I'm not getting... All right, go ahead.
But anyways, was it worth it? The money you spent, you think you get your money's worth?
No!
Then why did twice we spend money on this game? Why?
What?
Why are you spending money on this team? Why? If they stink, if they're boring.
You're asking me personally. I spend money on this team because I'm somewhat of an internet radio celebrity. I like to be recognized up there in the blue seats and, No. I go up there because I like to see hockey live. I mean, it's a different game.
Doesn't it drive you crazy? Doesn't it just drive you crazy?
Oh, yeah. I leave the game going, what the hell did I just do? I mean, it's like when you go to a strip bar and you drop $500 and you can come back and go, what did I get? Nothing. And
but
at least you got to see something when you went to the strip bar. You go to the Ranger game, it's a snore fest.
But it's...
Jerome from Dugout Fan.
We're going to call you Jerome now for on our post.
The bottom line is, like I said this over and over and over again. Stop spending money if you think they stink, if you think it's boring and this and that. Stop spending money on the product. I'll watch the game on TV, and I'll throw popcorn at the TV if I get angry. I'm not gonna go to the god and waste my money on a bad product.
Well, Jerome, I agree with that. And I think
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, sure.
So you watch the Rangers on TV, right?
Of course.
Okay. You have cable television?
I used to have DirecTV. Now I've decided I'm gonna start watching the illegal streams on the internet.
Nice. Okay.
Smart guy, my friend. Smart guy. I'm not gonna spend my money. I'm great. You know what I'm saying? We still
spend our money. So basically, what you're telling us is you're becoming a Ranger fan minimalist. You're gonna still follow the team, watch the games, but you're gonna spend as little. You're gonna get as much of it for free as you possibly can.
Why not? I mean, if the team starts winning and the office shows take care. They care about winning. They care about winning a championship. Then I'll go to the games. If not, you know what? Screw them. I'm not going to give them my money. Screw that.
Well, you know what? What Jerome is saying here is you're starting to see it, is that the Ranger fans are not re-upping their season tickets. And once they get hurt with that, I know a couple
of people
do not
but to be honest, I'm sorry, to be honest, when you live in a metropolis of 12 million people, it's kind of easy to fill up an 18-seat arena. And that's
right.
The problem.
But nobody cares about hockey, though. That's what it is. Only the Ranger fans care about hockey.
But you're going to see a lot more suits in the seats and a lot more empty seats, but bought and paid for seats.
Well, I hope the economy gets worse so those suits don't take the seats.
All right, Costa.
Our only hope is a bad economy.
Costa, we got to take some more calls. We'll talk to you later.
I'll push it out. See you later.
All right.
Take care,
bye.
Brother.
he was very morose, calm, wasn't he?
Calm, cool, and collected, just like I am.
Oh, boy. All right. Wait a minute. Here we go. Okay. Having a little issues with the switchboard tonight. 203-459, you're on Blue Shirt Beta Radio.
That would be me.
That's you. Mitch Beck, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, Mitch, how are you?
The only way I get on this show, I don't get invited anymore. I hate the Rangers. I got to pay for the tickets.
Here we go. Now we got another one. I don't get invited anymore.
Oh, my goodness. I just thought I was floating around on Facebook, and I saw a thing, and I said, you know, I haven't talked to these guys. Nobody invites me anymore. And I thought I would come and straighten you boys out.
What are you gonna? Why don't you bring Bashir on the show with you?
Yeah. Let me tell you something. He's not a nice person. I know that could be a shock to Jerome and to some of the other people there. But he's not a nice guy. He was not nice to me.
Well,
or to anybody else,
nice
for that matter.
How could anybody not be nice to you?
How could he not be nice to you?
I don't know. I offered him money.
How could
anybody
not like you?
He just doesn't like anybody. I don't think, and that's why, they're going to send him to Hartford again. And, he was a good citizen last year because he basically knew he was just, he got a lot more minutes than he would have gotten anywhere else. And he played a lot. And what's interesting is he only got in a couple of fights. And he actually was pretty decent of a player, when he was in Hartford, which is where he belongs. He's nothing more than that now.
And
an AHL guy.
Mitch, to be honest with you, I don't know how nice I'd be to people if I was stuck in Hartford either.
I mean, I've been stuck in Hartford for years. But I'm hanging in there. I'll tell you the truth. I actually enjoy going to Hartford games more than I enjoy going to the Ranger games. It's just a totally different atmosphere.
Now, I wanted to ask you, Mitch, what's the deal with the Rangers and their affiliation with the Wolfpack? Is that going to be over soon?
No. There's a couple more years left on that deal. I think this year and next year. I think, are still on there. The Rangers are completely content, you know, with being in Hartford. They don't have a problem with the Civic Center. They don't have a problem with any of that. What they have a problem with is the jabroni that is running the building itself right now, who's essentially, he has no money left. He's lost a couple of his buildings. He's trying, what he's hoping to do is run the building into the ground and then buy it. That's what he's trying to do. So he's doing virtually nothing. Nobody comes to the games. You know, it's not as much as they used to. Every single year for 14 years, it's gone down. But Howard Baldwin is looking to do it again and take over the team. And, you know, I've been doing some work with Howard on an event that's coming up in Hartford that if anybody wants to email me on it, it's going to be pretty exciting, actually. They're going to have a game which, Mouth, you would enjoy going to see. Do you remember the movie Mystery Alaska?
Yes. I do.
Howard produced that movie.
Oh, wow.
And they're talking with, do you remember whose career was made out of that movie?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe. And there is, what they're going to be doing is having a, one of the games, they're going to be playing them outside. And one of the games they're going to be having is a reunion of the stars of Mystery Alaska versus the Rangers alumni.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
And that should be a lot of fun. It's going to be in February.
Yeah,
they're having
some credentials.
What?
Give me some press credentials. I need some press credentials for that.
That was the best joke you've made all night.
Oh.
All right. Now, anyway. Mitch, I wanted to ask you one more question.
There's other news if you want to know about it.
Well, give it to us. Give it to us quick. We got to move on. We got a half hour left. And
okay, well, I can give you a couple of things. Earlier, I saw in the room, people were asking about PA Parento. I don't think PA is going to wind up in the NHL or the AHL this year. The things that I'm hearing is I think he's going to Europe.
They're pretty close to him, so I could see that.
Yeah, and I think that I also think that Alex Giroux, who used to be a Wolfpack player, played one game for the Rangers and played like 7 minutes, and they screwed him over. And he's been the best player in the AHL for the last 2 years. I think he's going overseas also, from what I'm hearing. So those are two big players. I think Dale Weiss, just in case you remember, we had Dale on the show here. Dale will be on the Rangers next year. You mark my words.
I hope he is. I'm a big
mark
fan.
My words, you heard it here first. Dale Weiss will be on the Rangers.
I hope so.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, we need a tough kid like that up there playing now.
Dale is a winner. Dale knows nothing except winning. And he will be very, very good. What cracks me up, I was just reading Mike Obernauer's blog. That apparently the
good
Rangers are.
The show.
Mike's a great guy. Rangers apparently think very, very highly of Evgeny Grachev. And if that's the case, I don't know if they're watching the same guy I watched all year.
Well, he's been looking good at the prospect camp. You know, that's
what.
I'm just telling you what I'm reading. That's look, you know,
Evgeny Grachev to me is closer to being an ECHL player.
You're acting a little like Donald Brashear here.
Cool. I'm just telling the truth. I think Grachev is much closer to being an ECHL guy than an NHL guy.
Oh, cut him off for that. That's ridiculous.
I sincerely think that. I really believe that. I just don't like the kid's game. He doesn't play.
My God, these people.
He gets knocked off the puck faster than Lindsay Lohan off a bottle.
That never happened.
You know, I mean, the guy, you know, I don't see it.
All right. Let's agree to disagree.
You think he's a good player? How many games did you see him play?
Three.
I saw him play 80.
I know, but there's a thing called development, and I think he got.
Yes, I absolutely agree. You should see. It doesn't mean he should be an NHL player, you know, from day one. Otherwise, if he was, he'd be in the NHL. But you want to see improvement. You want to see things getting better.
This is a sore subject with me and Grachev. Now.
Does he owe you money?
No. I think he's good. I don't want to get into it, but let me just ask you one thing. Are you aware of the Danbury Whalers?
Yes. I am aware of the Danbury Whalers.
Why don't you go over to them? Because you don't really do a good job at the Wolfpack.
Listen, Eddie, I would respond to that, but my mother always told me never to make fun of the handicapped.
Here's Spider, this is for you. All right, Mitch, listen, we got to run, buddy.
All right, take it easy. One last thing to tell you guys. I keep hearing it over and over and over again, the new ECHL relationship for the Rangers, I put this up on Howlings the other day, is going to be the Florida Everblades.
Nice.
Wow.
Just there's a little bit of a story for you guys.
Cool.
Okay, thanks.
All right, be well, guys.
Thanks, Mitch.
All right, talk to you soon, boys.
Bye.
Take care. All right.
Mitch Beck. All right. Should we just keep moving through the phone calls here?
Yeah, let's go. They want to talk free agents. We're getting a little clamoring about free agents. Who do you want? Call up and tell me. I don't know. You want Kovalchuk? You want Lombardi? You want Pavel Dimitra? Bring that fossil in?
I just want a backup goaltender. Go get Johan Hedberg. I think he'd be a good fit. Backup goaltender, and other than that, don't spend any money tomorrow. Don't bring me any Alice Cota leaks or nothing. Just stay the course, save the money, pay Stahl, get it over with, and get a goddamn backup goaltender so that Chad Johnson can be the starting goaltender in Hartford all season long, and then at the end of the year, you know what you have in Chad Johnson instead of having him carry.
Saying he wants Jan Denis. What the hell do you want? Who's Jan Denis? Isn't he some journeyman goaltender? I mean, what is this?
Isn't he an ex-Islander? Did he play for the Islanders and the Devils?
He played for the Islanders. Forget it. I don't even want him on the team. He's been tainted.
And
isn't Denis French for it's a goal or it's in?
Jan Red Light Danny? and the Flyers the Flyers gave Michael Layton a 2-year contract today, so they have Layton, Boucher, and somebody else I can't remember his name under contract. So it looks like they're going to stay with what they have, and they'll let Nabokov walk tomorrow. They traded for his rights, but I guess they're just going to let him go because they've got 3 goaltenders under contract for next season. Newman. What's up? Newman. Are you there? Newman?
Hello?
Are you there? Is this Newman? 201-788.
This is Robbie.
Oh, Robbie, I'm sorry. I got your number confused with Newman. What's going on, Robbie? Sorry about that.
No problem.
Newman kept telling me he's on hold. He's sending me private messages. When am I going to be on? Where am I? I saw 201. I thought it was him. Anyway, what's going on, Robbie?
There's one thing I wanted to say about that guy who called in. I don't know his name, but he said, you know, why spend money on the team? Let me tell you something. That's easier said than done. The fans are too loyal. There's no way in hell that they're going to, like, stop spending on the team, including myself. I try to. But it's just not going to happen. Teams are going to spend all this money until it gets really, really bad. Not going to games is much easier said than done. All right, the place is going to be packed regardless. All right, the fans are too loyal.
I agree with you, Robbie. But why don't you give us your take on what you want them to do tomorrow?
I want them to get like the backup goalie. I'd re-sign Auld instead. I think that he would be a good backup. And get Stahl signed. I'm thinking, like, I don't know, maybe 5 years, $25 million. Would that be good? $5 million a year, solid for him.
I think it's $5 million. People think I'm way out of my league with that.
No, I mean
the guys are top shutdown defensemen. Where do they come from, these guys?
Stahl, I think that one of you guys pointed this out a few weeks ago. Stahl was a good defenseman when he was when he didn't go for high expectations. Like when he was just like played his own game, he was really solid. And I give him a Roosevelt contract, maybe a little bit more than that, like 5 years, $25 million. But there is one thing I would like them to see do. I would like to see them sign Frolov. I really like to see. I think he would be good. I forgot what position does he play.
You want him to sign him? You don't know where he plays.
Yeah, I know. I forgot to look at that. But
yeah,
yeah,
you
got to put him.
You
got
to do your homework on this show, Robbie.
Yeah, I
got. He's a left wing.
Although I didn't know who you
just busted your
back.
He's a left. He's a left wing.
Left wing. All right, well, how much money do you think he would be asking for, though?
Too much.
Too much, yeah, that's the thing. And also, another thing, with these guys, you said that they needed size. Nickel Rass and whoever the other guy, like, these guys are like these young kids. How did they get to be like 6'4 or something like that? Like, that's amazing. You know, like, these are young kids. These aren't veterans. Like, these guys are huge. But,
there's steroids and there's stuff in the hormones and the milk nowadays. It's a whole client show. I don't have time to be Mr. Wizard here for you.
I was just going to say, what are we, Mr. Wizard over here?
No, I'm just trying to.
No, Rob, it's a good point, though.
No,
you know,
is it possible for them to send Redden down in July, or do they have to wait until training camp?
I think they have to wait, but I'm really not sure on that.
Hopefully that they can get rid of Roosevelt if that's possible. So I believe that there was a small market for him because he did play solid at the end of the year. Not like great, not worth what he's getting paid, but ten games, yeah.
Don't get me started on Roosevelt. I can't stand him. I just can't stand him. Don't get me started on him. We don't have that kind of time.
All right, don't get him frustrated, Robbie. You're getting crazy.
All right, and I'm watching the Mets right now. I'm San Juan, Puerto Rico. It's 4-2 Mets, by the way, just so you know that.
What
inning? I went to a commercial. I didn't see.
Okay.
But also, one more thing, Eddie.
Details, Robbie, details.
I'm looking at TV right now. One thing, speaking of the Mets, when they played the Yankees last week, you said that our few
weeks... Wait. Am I Keith Hernandez here? Is this Mets talk? What's going on? All right, go ahead with your question.
One thing, that you watched in that Bruce Cohen and I were talking about the Mets, and then you said that you watched in that bat. And I just said, you know, that's good. I'm proud of you. If I can't get you into the Knicks, I'll get you into the Mets. How does that sound? I get you more,
I watched a Jose Reyes at bat that lasted about 2 hours, and he actually wound up getting a double. So,
yeah. That's good.
And I did watch...
All right, Robbie, we're going to take some other calls. Tomorrow night we'll be on at 9 o'clock. You can call back. We'll talk about free agents, all right?
All right.
9 to 11.
All right, 9 to 11. I'll be in Massachusetts, though.
Call us from Massachusetts.
Well, I got Rose up there. They're not big Bruins fans, but they just I just visited Rose. But anyway, I'll see you guys tomorrow night, okay?
All right, good night.
Take care, bro. Bye, man.
All right, next up. 973-525, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Sean. How you guys doing? I like the show.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
All right.
I'm pretty good. This whole stall situation has got me worried. I mean, we go from, like, signing these ridiculously overpriced free agents to now we finally have a couple players that, you know, we could maybe build a friggin' team around. And now Sather wants to, like, you know, get them so pissed off that they're going to be on the first thing smoking out of here as soon as they aren't restricted anymore. I mean, if you were Mark Stahl right now, the way you'd be treated, would you want anything to do with the Rangers as long as Sather's here? I mean, you know, he's basically demonizing them through the only time you hear Sather talk about something when he's talking shit about a player when he won't sign the bullshit contract that he wants him to sign. It's ridiculous.
Right. Go ahead.
No, and I mean, as far as free agents, I mean, the pool is so weak. I mean, I hear people talking about Lombardi. Lombardi is not a $4 million player. We're going to give him $4 million because that's probably what it's going to take. I mean, there's so many teams that need a center. He's just going to get, you know, he's going to get twice the money he's probably worth. If you give Lombardi a contract like that, what are you going to do with Dubinsky next year? He's going to want whatever you give Lombardi. So it's like Pandora's box here. Anybody we sign is just going to be bad news. So we just need to re-sign the players that we have. You know, give Stahl what he wants. How are you going to tell Stahl he's a $3 million player when you got Redden making twice the money that he's making when he's a friggin' sixth defenseman? You know, it's ridiculous.
It's an insult.
It really is. I mean, I would say I would say that, all right, maybe, you know, under right circumstances, maybe like $5 million would be a little much for a stall. Not when you got Roseball making $5 million. Not when you got Redden making $6.5 million. You know, and
right.
You want to rebuild. You got a 23-year-old defenseman sitting here that could be on your team for the next 13 years. I mean, Jesus Christ, what else do you want?
So let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Say if you're another team and you say, listen, whatever, we're going to sign Stahl to an offer sheet.
Absolutely.
I mean, do you think wouldn't you do it? I mean, all right, you give up the draft picks, but to get a Mark Stahl who is just about starting into his prime, he's not even at his prime, but this guy is, what, 23?
Yeah.
I mean, right? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, well, the thing that aggravates me with some Ranger fans about Stahl is they look at points. I don't give a shit if Stahl has 8 points the rest of his year. When you can make Sidney Crosby get double shifted and try to play in the fourth line so he doesn't have to play against Mark Stahl, that's all I want out of Mark Stahl.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
that's a good point.
Good point.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's... Yeah, go ahead.
People want him to be more physical. The guy has a long fuse. I wish he played as tough. But listen, this guy is, first of all, he's got the Stahl pedigree. We all know he's... This guy has paid his dues on some suck-ass Ranger teams for the last 3 or 4 years. Dubinsky last year, all we heard from Sather was, you know what, and Tortorella was about Dubinsky, he'll get his payday, but he's got to be a pro. He's not being a pro by asking for his money now. All this, he'll get his payday. Well, now Stahl is looking to bank is looking for his payday, and what are they doing? They said, oh, you're out of line asking for that kind of money.
Yeah.
They want to be paid. They want to be paid, and he should be paid accordingly.
Yeah.
So.
He's looking at what his brother's got. I mean, his brother's got taken care of. I mean, I even think Jordan maybe probably could have got more. I think he's making $4 million a year, with the Stahl, with Eric playing the way he is and Mark playing the way he is. He probably could have got $5 million if he didn't sign with the Penguins. You know,
I think so
for him.
Too. Yeah.
You know, and we got a friggin' we got a Stahl. I mean, we got to keep this kid, and we got to friggin' build around him, and we got to stop exploiting these kids. Or, you know, what are we gonna have? We're gonna have friggin' Pavel Dimitra. That's what we're gonna have. And
yeah.
Frolov. I mean, my cousin watches LA games. Frolov is like a little bit. You know, he's got a lot of skill. He's kind of like Zverev. He's got a lot of skill, but he's like hit and miss at the best. I mean, he's not a great player. I mean, he's got a lot of skill, but, you know, he's like more worried about other things than hockey. But I know you guys got a lot of calls. I'll get off. Here we go.
Well, Sean, thank you for calling, and I agree with you on all. And I disagree with Ricky O with saying that he's not worth the money. Ricky, what are you trying to do? I think you're baiting me over here. He's the suckiest brother. Give me a break. He's playing on the suckiest team. You're playing with those foons and forget about it. So anyway.
All right. Thanks for the call, Sean. We'll hopefully be able to catch you tomorrow night. Next up, 631-493. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Well, good evening. This here be the ghost of Donald Brashear.
Oh, boy.
How are you all on this splendiferous evening?
Donald, thanks for calling in.
What is that for a Mitchell show?
Well, I'll tell you, I got about a minute or two. I'm expecting a very important call from my agent.
Ah,
that's
who's your agent?
That's correct, sir.
Who's your agent?
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. It involves George Foreman and a grilling machine.
Okay.
All right, well, because that's the avenue I'm going to be taking right about now.
The Donald Brashear grilling machine.
That's correct, sir.
That's how you cook your Brajol. The Brajol on the Brashear.
You
all
know,
right,
I take exception to your phone call saying I'm mean and all of that. I'm a nice man.
And you're quicker on the puck.
And I'm quicker on the puck, and I got all your monies, too.
That you do.
That's correct, sir. I got money like I just found oil.
All right, Donald, well, we're going to take some other calls, buddy.
All righty, then. You'll be good tonight.
Thanks.
All right, take care, Donald.
Oh,
bye. Jeez.
Oh,
next up, 203-984. Who's this?
What's up, fellas? This is Dave.
Hey, Dave. Welcome to the program.
No, I love what you guys do. I got two words for you.
Why? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Zdenek Mihalik, guys. Zdenek Mihalik is the guy we need to sign. Solidify the blue line once we send Redden down. This guy, 2 years ago, blocked the most shots in the NHL. Real solid positionally. I really like the kid. I swear to God, if we sign Kovalchuk, I'll probably never watch the Rangers again. I promise you that.
Wow.
I don't even think in their daily insanity. I really don't think, and I hope that tomorrow night I'm not eating my words, but I really don't think they're interested in Kovalchuk.
I really don't think. I mean, you look at the way that he played with the Devils, and you could say, well, it's the system, you know, it's Jacques Lemaire, it's this, it's that. He didn't do it, you know, and the guy just he doesn't back check. He's a, you know, for all of his offensive talent, he's a negative player. He's a negative player. It's as simple as that.
I just don't think Tortorella wants anything to do with him anyway, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can see that. No, I agree with you guys. This is probably the off season where we sit pat. We don't do anything egregious, you know. No crazy home run attempts by Sather. We all know how well those have worked out.
big strikeout.
You know, so I like your guy's suggestion that we go out and get Hedberg. I think he'd be ideal actually as a backup. I think he only made like $1,100,000 last year in Atlanta, and if they really wanted to keep him around, I don't know. I think that if you offer him, you know, we could probably fit him in for $1,300,000, $1,400,000, and still be okay.
Sorry, I'm laughing at Mandar. Why try to improve? Ninth place is okay.
According to Messier.
I mean, we're solid. You know, I just think Hedberg, you know, he's an older guy. He'll be able to come off the bench and succeed. And I don't think he'll come too expensively. And, you know, hey, you also get a Ranger killer off the – you don't have to worry about him killing the Rangers anymore.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I mean, maybe he'll turn some of the booze into moose.
Right. Well, I think that would be a really shrewd pickup for the Rangers to nab him. He's solid. You won't have to worry about if –
He's got that veteran presence. You know, he'd be probably be a good
right.
influence in the locker room. You know, talk shop with Lundqvist. Lundqvist, you know, get him into all the swanky clubs in Manhattan, whatnot.
Well, I just wanted to say that I don't know if we have the clip, but I'll just tell you the clip. Sather is asked after the draft about the goaltending situation. And he says, well, we're going to look out there. It is kind of a priority. We want to find a guy that Benoit Allaire likes and that somebody will get who will get along with Henrik. Like Henrik's like some kind of diva. I don't know what he meant by that. You know. And then he says, but you know what? We're kind of looking for a Cadillac, but for a Honda price. I think it's hysterical.
Here, hold on. Let's see how this plays.
They're trying to buy a Cadillac for a Honda price.
That this year the Rangers.
They're trying to buy a Cadillac for a Honda price.
Henrik played any more than 60 games.
Now, and what I like about Hedberg is that say something does go wrong with Lundqvist, the season isn't shot.
I would be fine putting him in. I would be fine.
Right.
So, you know, I think that Henrik is we can't the Rangers would be suicidal to keep playing him 70 games a year for the duration of his contract. I mean, it kind of makes me
sick. You know
sick.
What? In that interview, he says we just need a guy to play 10 games or so, which to me is insanity. 10
it's
games?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, is this what they're thinking?
No, I think right, he
I got,
said he.
I got one
oh, no,
more thing. I got one more thing for you guys, and then you can cut me off. But I really hope we don't sign that kid Lombardi. He's going to ask for way too much money. All the Canadian bloggers are predicting that he's going to make a huge payday. He's going to ask for a big long-term deal, maybe 4 or 5 mil over 5 years. We just can't fit that in. I'd much rather, you know, someone mentioned Dimitra, someone else mentioned Koivu. Don't sign this kid Lombardi. I don't see the value there.
Okay.
I agree.
There you go. Now, what did you have to say, Jim, correcting me on what I heard? Because, the audio was a little mixed.
No, what Sather said was they're looking for somebody that can give them 10 wins, not 10 games. Well, I mean, maybe they're expecting the guy to go 10-0. But,
yeah. 10 wins, okay.
Right.
Like trying to buy a Cadillac for a Honda price.
This from a guy who paid a Hummer price for a Studebaker for a defenseman.
Yeah, for an Edsel in Wade Red.
For a goddamn Hyundai. Anyway.
Send them down.
All right,
folks.
Dave. Thank you for calling.
Have a good one.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow night, hopefully.
Bro.
All right, don't forget, we got the show tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. 9 to 11, we'll be on to recap the free agency. And last year, when we did the show, all we had to open the show with was Donald Brashear, but by the end of the show, they'd signed Marion Gaborik. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. So that, again, is from 9 to 11, not at 8 tomorrow night. We're on at 9, all right? So I hope you guys will join us. We got 9 minutes left. If anybody wants to call in just so that they're in on the podcast, which we'll probably run into, you can call in. The number is 646-478-4692. You know, I can't remember the last time I gave out the phone number on this show. I bet it's been 3 weeks.
If we have, they're clamoring for the roll call. If we have time, or if we don't have anybody waiting online on the phones, I can do the roll call. But if not, let's just go to the phones.
Yeah, we got a couple of phone calls. Hang on, let's take this
one.
Okay, real
quick. Bring them in. We'll do the roll call tomorrow twice.
201-370, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Mouse, drop the gloves, baby, because we're going to go right now.
All right, let's go, brother.
All right, let's go, because it's the goon, and I'm telling you right now, you're way off base with Mark Stahl, bro. Mark Stahl is a restricted free agent. He is not a free agent. The Redding contract sucks. I'll give you that. The worst contract maybe in hockey history.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the only time that Sather has the leverage with the kid. Give him 3.5, give him 3.7. But if you can't even give him 5 now, what is he going to want in 3 years? 8, 9, 10?
He's not a $10 million
defenseman, man.
Right. So you're making, you've now made Glenn Sather a shrewd businessman. He's going to use his leverage, first of all. Second of all, I have, the man who coached the Rookie of the Year, James Patrick, telling me that Mark Stahl is one of the elite defensemen, shutdown defensemen in the NHL, and you're going to make Glenn Sather a businessman. Just because Stahl doesn't drive, and to say he's not as good as his brothers is an insult to me and the Stahl family.
But now, come on. Let me ask you a serious question. Do you think he's a top 5 guy in the league?
What do you mean top 5?
You think he's a top 5 defenseman in the league? As far as being a shutdown defenseman?
Yes.
You think he's top 5? Okay, well,
I think
we're going to just disagree on this one.
That's it? That's all you got?
No, I got plenty more, but I think you're wrong. I think he's non-physical. I think he's a wuss. Okay? He doesn't hit anybody that's not named Ovechkin.
We've got to the bottom line.
He doesn't hit anyone that's not named Ovechkin. He's a horrible passer.
Oh, come on.
Come on, now. You're making the guy sound like he's Ron Greschner. He's not in Greschner's class. Never mind Brian Leach's class.
He's no Willie Huber.
Willie Huber's not Willie Huber right now.
Oh, rest in peace, Willie Huber.
Too soon. Moment of silence for Big Willie. We are not getting a hostage for him now. That trade is off.
He wants to tell a joke. See, and look, because this is a fun show, we're talking about Mark Stahl, Phoenix Ranger. Yes, I'm saying he's a top 5 shutdown defenseman. You don't like it? we'll disagree. But there was a joke
in the blue seats in the early 80s.
In the blue seats about Willie Huber. And
when the Rangers traded for Willie Huber, the blue seats thought that they were getting this big physical guy. I forget, what was he, 6'5", 245 at the time? And they paired him with Barry Beck. And he came out and he threw a couple big checks early on, but he never would drop his gloves. And then all of a sudden he just stopped hitting after like the first 10 or 15 games. And the Iran hostage situation was going on. And people in the blue seats used to cheer, Huber for a hostage. And the whole blue seats used to chant Huber for a hostage in the middle of the game. And people would just roll their eyes and laugh. It was like, it was almost like making fun of Steve Irwin and you know, Swordfish or whatever the hell he got killed by. It was just way out of line. And it was Huber for a hostage and hit him with your purse, Wilma.
Oh, well, they hit him. The hit them with your purse line. They've used that one for probably 50 years. They just insert name here, you know.
Yeah. God bless you, Willie.
God bless you.
All right, Ricky.
And it's funny.
Hey, guys, real quick. Did you know Emil Francis was a shortstop? Have a good night. I love you. I'll talk to you tomorrow once you sign Lombardi.
Jesus,
an inside joke.
He was on a roll tonight. Picking on who was he picking on Emil Francis for?
I don't know. He loves that thing. But
all right.
It's funny. Just to follow up on the Willie Huber bashing, why the man just died Saturday morning.
Yeah.
In Detroit, the bad era of the Detroit Red Wings is called the Willie Huber era by Detroit fans.
Jeez.
All right. So move on. God bless you. Rest in peace.
All right. 631-849. You're on Blue Shirt Beta Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Jim. It's Critical.
Hi, Critical.
Yeah, silence.
Hi, Critical.
What's going on, brother?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all
chilling.
Right.
Jim, would you stop that?
I'm afraid, Jim.
nice to have you back, Critical. We've missed you.
Yeah,
we've missed your exuberance, the excitement you bring to the show, the way you pick us all up, get us fired up. Not like that Costa who got on here. It was just all mellow and morose and cerebral. You, my friend, are the heart and soul. So what's going on? What's on your mind tonight?
I'm just wondering what's up with Sather not giving Stoll a favorable contract. At least it seems like he's turning it down. I mean, 414 doesn't sound too bad, but I can see how Stoll and his agent are, like, considering this. Like, he shouldn't be getting any less than 4 mil. But that's my opinion.
Well, Ricky, I mean, and I, you know, as much as I disagree with Ricky, maybe that's what Saylor feels, but let's just give the guys what they're worth, for crying out loud. Why are we playing around after he throws money, you know, just into the wind at these awful players? Gives Cota Leak $4 million, $3.5 million. But Mark Stoll, who's paid his dues, all of a sudden he's, you know, we got to play games. And you know what? Even regardless of this, why wasn't this taken care of? This should have been going on immediately after only joking and missed that freaking penalty, the shootout shot. But no, now it comes up.
Yeah,
so anyway,
this season they should have had this all sorted out, and now you know teams that have some room are gonna be throwing offer sheets at this kid tomorrow, and Sather's gonna have to match it or get rid of him. I mean, next year's draft isn't supposed to be as deep as this one was, so if we lose in the friggin' draft picks, we're getting the bottom end of the barrel in this. He should have had this guy locked up by the Olympic break. He should have already been locked up, like at least had some kind of verbal agreement with them.
You know what it is? They probably don't know who they have, who they're waiving. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. People in the chat room said you sound like Michael Jackson.
Oh, my God.
Frosty goes, he Tito my hair.
All right. Really quick. We got just about a minute to go. Don't forget, we'll be on tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, regardless of what happens tomorrow, whether the Rangers spend a ton of money or spend none of their money. We'll be on tomorrow night to talk about all of it, and there will be a roll call tomorrow night. You know, I really hope I really hope you friggin' people are listening to this show for something other than to hear your own name called on the air. I really do.
No. I would like to hear my name on the air. I would do it just for that.
Bunch of wacky pricks. Hey, you're the captain to my Tennille, Eddie.
I love them all. I love it. You know,
I love them.
Yeah, I mean, I love them, and I listen. Just like anybody else, we're going to... Fedorov made it in. Huh.
Yeah, and if you want to come in on the if you want to come in on the podcast, you got to hurry 646-478-4692, and we'll see you guys tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. All right, sorry.
All right, now, any more phone calls to go to? We still have the crit online.
Well, we still have critical, but we got other phone calls that I'm going to bring in as soon as we go to podcast, pretty much.
Good.
What's Chris? Now, I mean, is there any free agents that you'd like to see the Rangers get, or have you dabbled in it? Have you looked it up?
Yeah, I've done some research, and there really isn't anybody too exciting to bring in, at least with our cap situation. I know the cap goes up like $3.2 million, but, you know, we got to demote Redden. We won't have any room to breathe unless we demote Redden. That's probably why Sather is taking his time with Stahl, because he's trying to figure out how to squeeze out as much money as he can. But, I mean, Stahl should have a friggin' 5'18", 5'19", minimum.
I agree.
I don't see him signing for less than about 4.
Uh-oh. Sorry. Don't mind me.
What do you like, uh-oh, what the hell happened? Did you get struck by lightning here?
No, but I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden there's like a huge gust of wind, and I looked up, and there's all these clouds around, and, you know, it's kind of, we're heading into that time of the year for here. You could have a dust storm at like a minute's notice. Really, hold on. Let me bring in Mandar. Mandar, good evening.
Good evening, Jim.
And I'm going to bring in an old friend who we haven't seen lately, Mr. D.B. Maven. D.B., good evening.
Good evening.
And we got one more here. I'm not sure who this is. 516-754. Who's this?
What's up, boys? It's Rock. How you doing?
Oh, hey, Rock. Okay, you guys
hey,
are
Rock,
on the podcast. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening tonight. So let's start with where we start with Mandar. Mandar, give us your take on the draft first, I guess.
Well, they're always good for entertainment value, if nothing else. I didn't know if this was going to be Stefan Chernesky or Michael Stewart or Jim Malone. Yeah, I can bring back those names going back as far as Jess did too. But look, this is a pick that's going to be. You just don't know what you're going to get from it for a couple of years. I think Fowler would have given you more of an immediate impact, and, of course, he was a name. At first, I hated it. Then, you know, you calm down because he's not the guy that you wanted to hear. But, you know, everybody's now saying, oh, he's the next Spookaboom. Oh, maybe he's Shea Weber. I'm like, well, if he was a Shea Weber, Dion Phaneuf, he would have gone above 10. And then I hear these, well, he would have gone at 11 or 12 if the Rangers didn't get him. Well, then the Rangers would have gotten toughness somewhere else. They picked a tough guy, what, in the seventh round? So there's so much speculation. There's so much desperation to make sure that we did something phenomenal that everybody's already passing judgment on a guy who bet you that 95% of the people who are making these comments have never seen him play. They saw a few YouTube videos of him fighting, and that's it. Now we have toughness. Or do we have the second coming of Pat Price or Dale Purinton? I mean, I don't know. And so, but everybody's all getting off on this, well, he's a fighter, he's a toughness, we don't have toughness. Well, guess what? In 2010-11, we still don't have toughness. So I don't want to hear we got toughness in 2 years. That's great. I want to know that our prospects that we got now are going to make a difference this year. The guys that are in the minors next year take the next step. And we haven't addressed the scoring problem that we have. We still have too many third, fourth, and fifth line guys. So... After tomorrow, Yeah, there is. Yeah, let's every piece of garbage that gets to be an unrestricted free agent or wasn't qualified, everybody's got to say, hey, should we go after him? Sure, let's bring in another, you know, Nigel Dawes or Ethan Morrow before he got signed. It's the same thing. So I'm waiting until after we see what goes on with the free agent signing period over the next day or two to see where we stand. And not only us, but see where the conference stands because, yeah, we were a point out of making the playoffs behind Philly, but don't forget, it was a weak Eastern Conference. Boston's already gotten tougher with their draft and their trades. Other teams are going to get stronger. Are we going to get stronger in comparison to the conference? And I think that's something important.
All right.
Okay.
That's where you stand, and I think you raised some good points. You're right. The Rangers haven't addressed the scoring issue, which is really yes, Henrik getting run every other game, that's always going to be there. It's not like, you know, we drafted this kid, he's going to step in the right, you know, right into that spot. But the thing that Gordy Clark said about this kid is the kid is on the upswing, that he has just caught his groove now, and that he's just going to get better. So I think that's what was his thinking with the pick. And, but you're right. We're not experts on this. It's a crapshoot. I mean, everybody says it is a crapshoot. Unless you get the first, couple picks, even that. Like Jim brought up in the last show. You remember the Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf debates that went on in football?
Right.
It's
human nature as fans that when you're, no matter what sport, when your team makes a draft pick, the first thing you do is you play we shoulda. We should have drafted this guy, and this guy was available. Well, you only got one pick. And, like I said the other night, I have no reason not to give Gordy Clark the benefit of the doubt right now that he knows what he's doing. And, like you said, like Mandar said, in 2013, it's going to be how Dylan got his groove back.
The Undertaker. All right, Rock, what do you have to say? Who do you like in the UFAs? I saw you disagreeing with me in the chat room a little bit on certain things. Maybe talk stall. Give me your opinions on it all.
The thing with Lombardi is I don't trust guys coming off career years going into unrestricted free agency. I think we've been burnt too many times with that. He played on a fairly decent Phoenix team with a good supporting cast, with some good young players, and he's actually coming off his best season. He's 28 years old. Maybe he puts up another 50-point season next year. You sign him to a 3-year deal. Now he's closing in on 30 years old. And we've seen it too many times where guys hit 30 years old and they kind of fall off a cliff. Hence, Alex Kotalik, Chris Drury.
Point.
I mean, the list goes on and on. These guys hit 30 years old and, they either lose their legs or they forget how to play hockey. Just to give a point on, Shea Weber was actually a second-round pick of Nashville. And I just pulled up his stats, and McElroth is his stats aren't even close to Shea Weber. But granted, Shea Weber actually his first two seasons didn't have that much offensive upside. And his second 2 years, he actually did better in the WHL. So just to throw it out there, as far as the draft, when the Islanders picked Nina Ryder, I walked out of the room. Because I just had a feeling when I heard Portland Winterhawks, I said, oh, they're definitely drafting this guy. So I walked out of the room. I was so disgusted. And then when I saw all these other forwards get drafted, I said, they're going to stick us with the defenseman now. And I thought we were going to draft Fowler. And I turned to my buddy, who I share season tickets with, and I say, what do you do here? Do you take Valid? Do you take Tarasenko? I mean, I really thought they were going to go for an offensive forward, considering the fact that this team really, offense is the thing that they've always struggled with, drafting in the first round. And I always said I think the Rangers have a curse when it comes to drafting in the first round, especially when it comes to forwards. They picked McElroth. And to be honest with you, the only guy that really seemed to be, blown away by the pick, I mean, that he almost fell out of his chair was Pierre McGuire. McKenzie, they were surprised because they have, they have this love fest with Cam Fowler because they don't want their mock drafts to look like crap. But, really, he fell fine. I mean, it's happened before. But Pierre McGuire was the only guy that seemed like he was surprised that the Rangers picked McElroth and not Cam Fowler. It wasn't that far of a drop-off to say, oh, wow, 10 and 15. To me, once you get past the first five picks, top six, seven picks, everything else is a crapshoot. I mean, let's see, Leach was picked ninth overall. Yeah, he's going to be the best guy in that draft.
So, I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
It's a crapshoot, no matter what it is. As far as Joel's concerned,
go ahead with Stahl.
No, my whole thing with Stahl, and listen, I love Mark Stahl. He's the team's best defenseman. I'm not going to dispute that. I think $5 million a year is too much for him right now. You know what? When they gave Lundqvist his money, Lundqvist was a Vezina Trophy runner-up how many years in a row? He had 10 shutouts. He basically carried the team, you know, for spurts, and he did what he had to do, and the Rangers took care of him. And mm-hmm. not to sound like – I'm not sounding pessimistic, and I love Stahl, and I want to preface that by saying this. I don't think he's worth $5 million yet. If you want to sign up $3.5 million, I think he's worth $3.5 million. That's what David's doing is the right thing. Pay his dues, sign a 3-4 year deal, you pay your dues, then you can chew money. When you have a little bit more of a resume, when you have maybe a Norris Trophy nomination under your belt, or you have an All-Star game under your belt, or you put up a 50 or 60-point season, you know, I'm not saying he might never do that, but I'm just saying I think you need a little bit more of a sampling before you give this guy $5, $6 million. He's 22 years old. Then what do you pay Del Zotto? Then what do you pay? You know, you're just going to create this snowball effect. Now you're not going to be able to keep anybody. Now all these young guys are going to come up, now you're not going to be able to keep anybody. Because you're going to pay every rookie when they come up, if they have a decent season, you know, what are you going to pay Stefan 3 years from now if he's in the same area that Binsky's in? You know, it just creates that snowball effect.
I agree with you to a point. I mean, I definitely agree with you. You make some good points. It's just that when I see, like when the Rangers made their, let's quote-unquote, playoff run, there were about two or three players, I think, down the stretch that showed me they cared and were playing their best hockey, and Stahl was one of them. And I just, because I'm afraid, I guess, in the back of my mind, that one of these teams, a couple teams in cap room, is going to throw some crazy money at him, and he's going to go bye-bye. But you're right. You don't want to start this scenario where now, oh, Stahl got this. Well, now Del Zotto's had three, you know, he's going to get 60 points, 70 points. Then what do you give him at the 70-point mark?
You give him $6 million? I mean.
Right. So I see a point with that. That's a point well taken.
And Christensen not taking a two-year deal, he's out of his mind. But that's another story.
He's a moron. We
yeah.
didn't even get
yeah.
to that.
I agree with that. I mean, here's a guy that was waived, and nobody, you know, it's not like teams were beating down the door to sign Erik Christensen, and you know, and he makes the comment that when he comes to the Rangers that he feels like this is his last NHL stop or his last chance, I should say, in the NHL, and the Rangers make him a 2-year offer with, you know, some financial security, and he turns it down.
It's a $100,000 pay cut, honestly.
And you get to play with Gaverick, you know, in theory.
You're going to be a top two center on this team. You're going to be a top two center.
He would have been at least 10 games with Gaverick.
So hopefully he's not a top two center, you know, as the year goes on.
But
if he's a top two center on this team, doesn't mean he's a legit top two center.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't, but I don't think Drury's a top two center anymore either.
No,
you know,
he's not.
Drury's our fifth line center.
Yeah, he's our fifth line.
But he can also fifth line right wing too, Jim.
Yeah. All right. Now,
Lisa Mom's more top two than Drury.
In the last 5 minutes, I've heard DB Maven doing a lot of heavy sighing, and I think he's chomping the bit to speak up. So, DB, give us your thoughts.
I have to agree in parts with a lot of things that everybody said. I mean, as far as the draft, I was a little bit surprised at the pick, but I like it. You've heard me talk about building from the blue, you know, the goal line out all last year and getting tougher.
Are you falling down the stairs?
Jack in the box.
I'm making coffee.
Mandar just fell down the stairs.
They make a lot more noise than that.
Broom, 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 broom. My shoe.
Here it is.
Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord.
My shoe.
Bad priest.
All right. right. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, DB. I'm sorry, DB.
No, that's okay. I like the pick. I think that they got tougher. I'm desperately looking forward to the day. Maybe it will happen this year at camp where we can see Zuccarello Austin and this Watson or whatever his name, the kid is, who's 5'9", and McElrath on the ice, and we can call it the Smurf and Turf line.
And you've been waiting all day to say that, haven't you?
Yeah. How long you had that in your pocket?
Yeah, about 10 minutes.
Turf.
Yeah, I don't know about the free agents. I just if it's me, I will gloat just a little bit if Redden actually does get demoted to Hartford, and they offload him to from a cap perspective, that would make my probably season. Yeah, I think it would probably. A lot of people would be fairly happy about that. And what I'd love to see them do is basically freaking nothing. I would love to see them sit on the money. I would love to see them sign Stahl for a reasonable amount. What's reasonable? I think 3.5 to 4, somewhere in that range, is worth it for him. He's ranked, you know, I've posted it a number of times. Myrtle statistically says he's the number one defensive defenseman in the league. You can argue that statistics, blah, 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 whatever, but the guy's worth 3.5 to 4, I think, easily when you compare him to his peers and what he does. So, but other than him, and I would sign Girardi, and I would probably say, if you can get Demetra for 2.5 and re-sign Prosper for 1.5, those would be the moves that I would make, and then wait for the youngsters and see what happens. Absolutely.
I don't think you're getting Prosper for $1.5 million, though. Not off the year he came off of, though.
Why not? He's getting $1.2 million almost from Tampa still. So
yeah, but he's unrestricted.
Saying,
somebody's going to look at his stats as a center and a winger, and probably give him 3 or so. I guarantee that he's not going to get below that in the marketplace. I'm not saying that they should be. Teams are going to look at his numbers and look at what he's done.
Yeah, you're going to look at his numbers, and you're going to look at the history, though, and you're going to realize that he has a knack for having on-year, off-year. And this coming year would be the off-year.
Right.
Okay, you know, you may be right, Mandar. I don't see him as being worth 3.5.
Guys, I got something. The Leafs acquired Chris Versteeg.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
The Leafs are going to be a tough damn team, man.
Just acquired Chris Versteeg. I don't know what it's for. I just, Pierre LeBrun from ESPN just
wow.
reported it. I don't know who's involved and who they're trading or whatnot, but they were looking for a first-round pick and a prospect. And I know Toronto doesn't have a first-round pick for next year. So I don't know who they're giving up. Might be Kuhlman. I don't know. I think they're looking to maybe clear space, salary cap space, so they might not have taken anybody back. It might just be for picks and prospects. But
maybe it doesn't
throw that out
first.
There.
They don't have that deal yet on TSN. Usually they're first with all that stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, are you disputing Rock?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I was just looking to see if they had more information. That's all.
This is ESPN Pierre LeBrun. It's on his Twitter. Leafs get Versteeg and a right to winger Bill Sweat in exchange for Victor Stahlberg, Chris D'Amico, and Philip Parody.
You looking on Hockey Future on that one?
I'm looking on the Twitter. I have a Twitter account, so I'm on the Twitter account.
They're calling it on Hockey Future Boards too right now.
Victor Stahlberg, they were high on him. On the Leafs, but the Leafs are going for it.
The Leafs are going to be a tough team.
They got a great first round pick.
Bill Sweat was a good pick.
Never had one.
Isn't it kind of funny how we're approaching this first day of free agency the same way we approached the trade deadline, and our whole thinking is we just don't want them to do anything stupid.
Yeah,
I mean, that was like,
yeah, almost,
that was all we kept, that was what we all kept saying going into the trade deadline. If they're going to make a move, fine, just don't do anything stupid. And that's kind of what, you know, I think everybody's thinking this tomorrow. Just don't do anything stupid.
That's the best you can hope for is absolutely right.
Yes.
And he's got
a little toy right now. If Redden goes down,
there you
go. The cap went up about $2.5 million, so he's got a bunch of money now to spend again.
Well, Mandar, don't forget.
In his pockets.
Don't forget, if he had as much money to work with as Neil Smith did, he'd win the Stanley Cup every year. Oh, and by the way, I didn't mention this on the show Saturday night, and I forgot to mention it tonight. According to what we were hearing at the draft, had the Rangers not taken McElrath at 10, the Stars were going to take him at 11.
That's whether bullshit, or not, because they took the goalie.
Well, that was only because he was there, but supposedly they were going to take McElrath. I'm just telling you what we were hearing.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, but that was also what Brooks was saying the same thing, but I bet you that they had Campbell slotted the whole time. They got rid of Turk. No, it's not.
I didn't hear it from him. He doesn't talk to me.
I heard the Oilers were trying to trade up too to get to the 15th pick to get McElrath. Also, I had heard that also. I don't know why.
The reality is you don't know because there were so many rumors going around. That, you know, I heard the same thing about Dallas moving up, and then you had another one the next day saying, oh, no, we got our guy, and this is the guy we wanted. They wanted the goalie. You have no idea. There's so much. And the other issue is you've got people out there effectively that are plants, and they're saying stuff just to lead others astray. So,
right.
The bottom line is, it's reasonable to assume that McElrath might have been gone. It was not a big reach for him to go at 10. He was slotted maybe in around 15. He was pretty highly ranked. The problem was he was not as highly ranked as Fowler and Gormley.
Gormley,
they were still on the board, and that's what shocked people.
Yeah.
The bottom line is if those two guys have questions, it's no wonder they dropped as far as they did. And there's got to be something to it because a lot of people passed on them.
How about Colorado, though? Didn't they pick a guy that was ranked in the 30s?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little bit strange.
Yeah, that's
true. They picked the goalie.
So, what are you going to do?
Hey,
fellas.
Ricky. One thing, Jim. Hey, Ricky,
Ricky's gone.
I saw you said on the Hockey Future Boards that stupid Eklund rumor, but is there any truth to the Rangers' interest in Spezza or not?
Ricky's gone.
Oh.
He hung up before the show ended.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He had a rumor out there floating around about the Rangers interested in Spezza, and I'd love to get Spezza.
But he makes $7 million.
Yeah,
he'd be perfect.
So what?
Fucking Gomez money.
I'd say if you're going to spend $7 million, I'd rather bring in Richards for a year, see what he can do.
7.8 on Richards, yeah?
For 1 year. At least he knows Tortorella. At least you know what you get. And I don't know. Spezza seems a little bit soft
Tortorella.
To me.
How old is Brian Richards?
He's 30.
He's only 30, that kid?
Yeah.
Wow. Seems like he's been around forever.
What I wanted to ask you guys is going into next season, what about the defense corps? Is everyone comfortable going in there with four rookies five rookies and Michael Roosevelt? Stoll and Girardi have a little bit of, a little time on the blue line, but is everybody comfortable with Gilroy, Delzato, Roosevelt, and McDonough as your four defensemen with Girardi and Stoll?
McDonough's not coming.
I think you need somebody. I think you need somebody.
I tell you what, I don't think Gilroy is going to be above with the big team this year.
I agree with that. I don't think he's talking AHL. Yeah, I agree with that, too. That's what I was just curious.
That's
where
he started
last year.
And are you guys convinced we're going to re-sign Girardi also?
Well, supposedly
honestly,
they want
if
to.
If you have the right trade, I would try to move him right now. If you get a good number one center, decent number one center, or a good number one center, I would move him.
Definitely.
For Girardi?
Yeah.
I'm keeping Girardi.
A lot more than Girardi.
If somebody, somebody offers me a number one center for Girardi, I said, where do I sign?
Well,
that's
obviously,
like,
I
that's like
it would
a,
start
yeah,
with Girardi.
Right.
It would start with Girardi. Like, I think you need a top. You need a big. You need a number one center in the Eastern Conference when you're going up against Ovechkin, Crosby, Malkin, Richards, LeCavalier. You need to have a big number one center to go up against all
plus
these guys.
Plus, you need a center Iceman that can create
win face-offs.
And even winning faceoffs and even creating coming out of your own zone and coming up the blue line. Right now, it's the home run pass from Delzato. That's all
right.
They got is a breakout plan. That gets pretty old pretty quick.
Well,
so,
yeah, it took the opposing teams all the way till November 15th to figure that out.
Yeah, but that's why I was kind of touting Tim Connelly. Connelly can create. He's almost like a Nylander type. I think he can carry the puck. He's got great hands. He's just injury prone, but I always like Connelly.
Yeah, he has some talent to it if he could ever stay healthy.
Exactly, and he's a legit one or two center.
Yeah.
How much does he get?
Think about $4 million, $4.5 million.
I'm figuring, he can't be more than $4 to $4.5 million. Now, I don't know about how long term.
At the end of the year last year. I think it's 2 years. This year and next year, I think he's making about $4.5 million, somewhere in that vicinity.
Mm. It'll be interesting.
Tim Connelly, 29 years old, $4.5 million through next season.
No.
Next. So there's only 1 year left?
1 year left.
I'd take a shot. That sounds like
1 year?
Yeah, but you got to trade for him, so you're going to trade with Buffalo. What do you got that they want?
Chris
I don't Drury? See that happening.
Best first passer in the game.
They
got the best.
They're losing a couple of defensemen. Matt Gilroy.
There you go. They need the
there
best first passer in the game.
How about
why do they need defensemen?
They're going to lose Lugman and Talinda.
Yeah.
What the hell's his name? With Toronto is going to be out for the season. Van Ryn, is that his name?
Van Ryn.
See, time to reignite those red into the Leafs rumors from last year.
What for Cabrera?
Get it going.
Is that like Malkin to the Kings?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. Yes, sir.
All right.
To the Leafs.
Schmiedeberg.
Yeah. Great. That's all I need. Hey, you know, I sat next to Bruce Garriott at the draft all weekend.
I saw you put that in one of the blogs at some point. I was laughing.
Yeah, he was sitting right next to me.
Jim, why don't you tell him who kind of snubbed you? A Ranger favorite snubbed you with the draft.
Who else snubbed you?
I don't want to break your heart, guys, but
Messier.
No, I didn't get angry with him. No. He does not work for the Rangers. He does not work for the Rangers, but he is a former Ranger fan favorite.
Tie dye.
And
Shanahan.
Oh, wow.
You posted that, too. I remember seeing that.
Blew me off.
Cold shoulder?
Yeah. Oh. I was actually having a very nice conversation with Peter McNabb. And Shanahan came walking up, said hello to Peter, said hello to me, shook my hand, and then continued a conversation with Peter like I was a tapestry hanging on the wall. And then when he was done, he said, I'll see you later, Peter, and off he went.
Wow.
And he thought you were Peter, too.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Peter Griffin, maybe.
Well, he's NHL now.
You guys want to hear my celebrity story real quick?
Uh-oh.
Go for it.
All right, I'll tell this as and then I gotta go, but I'll tell this really quick.
Well, let me just say this preface this: the fact that you knew who this guy was, I don't think I would have known who he was. But go ahead.
Well, I can explain that. Well, there's at least partly a way to explain that at the end. All right, let me tell this story really quick. After the second day of the draft, right, I'm going back to my hotel, which is about a mile and a half from the Staples Center. So I take two like quick trains that you got to take, and I get to my hotel. My hotel is about three blocks from Union Station. Okay, I come off the train at Union Station. I go back to my hotel. I change my clothes, grab my stuff. I head back out of my hotel to go to back down to LA Live, which is right outside the Staples Center. Okay, so I'm on the phone with my wife while I'm walking back to the train station. As I'm walking back to Union Station, there's like 30 guys outside Union Station, big black guys in black suits. They reminded me of the guys that used to surround Michael Jackson. Okay, you picture those guys, that's who they were. I'm on the phone with my wife, and I'm going, holy shit, I got to walk into the train station, and there's like 30 guys around in black suits. And she's like, all right, well, just go in. You'll be fine. So I said, okay. So I get on the train. I go to LA Live. I'm coming back, right? I get back to Union Station, and now instead of 30 of these guys, there's like 60 of them, right?
Oh, wow.
So and as I'm walking towards them, there's like a little restaurant or club or something inside the train station, and there's music just blasting out of this place, right?
So was this a Donald Brashear look-alike contest?
Yeah. So, and by now, I mean, I've spent the last couple of hours. I was at ESPN Zone. I was drinking, so I've got a nice buzz going on. I was hanging out with Russ Cohen, and I got to see Marcy Braverman, whatever. And so I'm headed back to. So I go walking through these guys. I get outside of Union Station, and there's a lunch wagon set up, right, like a Roach Coach. And there's these two girls at the Roach Coach, two white girls, cute, young. And they're like, hi, how are you? I'm Becky, and I'm so-and-so. Would you like something to eat? It's all free, sponsored by the event. I'm like, well, sure. It's like 12:30 at night, right? So we're talking for a few minutes, and I order some food, and they're making the food, and we're just chit-chatting. And this guy comes up next to me, and the girls give him the same speech. Hi, I'm Becky, and I'm blah, blah, blah. And, you know, would you like something to eat? It's all free. And the guy says, well, sure, ladies. It's very nice to meet you. My name's Mario. And I turn, and now, like, this is all registering very fast in my head. And I'm like, is a black guy here? His name is Mario? And I look at the guy, and I go, holy shit, you're Mario Van fucking Peebles. And the guy looks at me, and he goes, well, and he's laughing. He goes, well, I've never been referred to as that, but yes, I am. It's very
dude,
nice
Jack
to meet you. So we're talking for a couple of minutes, right? And I get my food, and I'm walking back to my hotel, and I'm laughing hysterically at the whole thing. I mean, just the fact that I met Mario Van Peebles outside a Roach Coach at a train station in the middle of the night in L.A., called him Mario Van fucking Peebles, and I was glad that I wasn't drunk enough that I said to him, I just got to ask, Jaws 4, what the fuck were you thinking? And I'm on the phone with my wife trying to tell her this story. I'm laughing my ass off. It's just so ridiculous. Mario Van fucking Peebles.
Fucking people.
It's a classic. It's really a classic.
Hey, what did he say when you asked him about Jaws 4?
What's that?
What did he say when you asked him about Jaws 4?
Oh, I said,
no, he was glad
I said I'm glad I wasn't
him.
That drunk that I didn't ask him.
Oh, hell, I would have asked him.
I wouldn't even know who he was. I mean, I know, did he look similar to what he used to? He used to have dreadlocks in that movie or something?
Yeah, he had dreadlocks. Yeah, but no, I can't say I've seen more than two of his movies, but I just knew who he was. And wasn't it Father Melvin? Is that his father, Melvin Van Peebles?
I don't know.
Wow, you're reaching there, Jim.
Anyway. So,
you know
so, yeah,
way
that,
too much about
that was one of my celebrity encounters.
Nice. Nice. All right, fellas.
That's
we'll see you tomorrow night.
What time, guys?
See you tomorrow night.
See you guys at 9 o'clock. Mario Van
later.
Fucking Peebles, baby.
Mario Van fucking Peebles.
Later.
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 Great show, Jim. Great show, Eddie.